United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
Well, about to say. Sunshine, she's here. You can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon that could go to space. With the air, like I don't care, baby, by the way.
Welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It is 10 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock here on the 25th of
June.
Wow. You know, the month is almost over.
We're almost, yeah, it's almost Independence Day.
Yeah, this next week, a week from a week from Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got any big plans?
I hope not.
Going anywhere? Or not?
I hope
going,
not.
Just going to vegetate?
I hope not. You know, I like home. Home, you know, when I was younger, I'd always want to be out doing something. And my mom told me, you should appreciate home. And I told her, I thought she was crazy. Well, guess what? Mom, not nuts.
No.
Now she's trying to get me to go out the house, and it's like, you should be appreciate home. Hey, it's the number 347-945-5229. Mark it down so you can find us. You'll know where we are, and you can call us at will. If you download the app, the WSOM app, and then when you get downloaded, I think you'll like it and then rate us. But it's WSOM. You can download it. You can listen to it. You can push a button and go to it.
One button calling.
One button calling. It comes in locally. So we want you to do that so that you know where we are, and we will know where you are. There's a hopefully we'll, and once we have enough people to download it, I'm quite sure they will expand it to where you can text us and talk to us and call us, and that's kind of cool.
Yeah, keep in touch.
Yeah, and we've got some sponsors coming on, and so and when they come on, they're gonna want you to go into their establishments and say, hey, guess what I did? I heard it on Tracy and Friends, and I need for you to do that. So please,
we need sponsors.
What is going on with Hobby Lobby now?
About
birth control.
Yeah. Well, it's not, but that's the thing. It's not birth control, because Hobby Lobby was paying for birth control.
What is it?
It was about three drugs that the family thought, the family's belief system said were abortivative drugs. They were not birth control pills. And they refused. There were only three drugs they refused to pay for. They've provided birth control pills for morning after pill type stuff.
Okay.
They were providing birth control for their employees. They were just not providing what they considered to be abortivative drugs.
You know what? I know we have a guest coming on talking about Agent Orange. But before we get there, and so since I have to get this out, and then when they go off, we'll come back with something. But you know what really irritates me to no end is when Republicans go stupid.
They've got a habit of doing that. So what's the latest?
Down in Mississippi, the guy who lost, just because he didn't think about it, he's really upset.
Cochran, yeah. But what about the guy that won? That was advertising for Democrats to come out and vote for him.
Did it work?
We don't know yet. I think there's going to have to be.
It might be. It has to be what?
There's going to have to be a recount.
No, he won by landslide. The problem is the other guy's mad because he lost, because he didn't expand his voting.
Well, but the thing is, and I can see where he's coming from.
He didn't like an open primary.
No. Because the law in Mississippi, to my understanding, is if you voted in the Democrat primary, you can't vote in the Republican primary.
But this was not a Republican primary. It was an open primary.
No. The law, there was a Democrat primary a few months ago.
Okay.
And this was the Republican primary.
Okay.
So if you voted in the Democrat primary, you were ineligible to vote in the Republican primary.
So
he's got to go back. He wants to go back because the margin was so slim. He wants to go back and double-check and make sure nobody voted in both primaries.
But did you hear what he said? What he said was stupid, even if what you're saying is true. What he said was really, really asinine.
I don't think it was.
I know you don't.
What he said was a Republican primary was decided by liberal Democrats.
And so what? And what he was saying, in quiet speak, he was saying it was decided by black people because they went out and got them to vote for him. That's what he said. That's what he said.
We're looking at this from different sides of the table.
I know. And the question is, if you can get him to win, and if they voted for him in the primary, if they came out in a Republican primary.
So what if he finds 5,000 votes, people that voted in a Democrat primary and the Republican primary?
They'll cross that bridge when they get to it. But if he did not,
then he should bow out gracefully.
But his words should have been better than what they were. Because the problem with what he was saying is, we're looking to expand our base into the African-American community.
Mm-hmm.
And if those people came out and are in a Republican primary, as you say, to vote for this guy, then he must have something going on. We have a hard enough time getting people to vote in their own primary. And if they came out and voted for this guy in an off primary, because this was a runoff.
Right.
Then why? I mean, we need those votes carry over into other elections.
But they won't show up for
not necessarily. Because if you get them to vote for you once, you could probably get them to vote for you twice. And you can't say that you want people to come out and support your party, but when they do, then demonize them because you didn't vote for the guy we wanted you to vote for. And that's pretty much what he said, because the problem is he didn't think about it.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's not a professional politician.
He's not a professional politician, but he is. He's a hardline, right-wing, over-the-top, should have done better, should have known better Republican. You can't ask for people to come and vote and expand your base, and we're going to help you out, and we're all about inclusion. And then when you come out, say, "Now we don't want you this time. Come next week."
You're right there, but I didn't look at it that way. I just didn't. And like I said, we look at this from different sides.
You know how hard it is to get black people to vote for a Republican So, heck, if they came out in the Republican primary, hello, ding, 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 that was good all in itself.
I don't know. I voted for Hillary Clinton in the primary.
Oh, you were one of those crazy people that...
So why am I crazy? Because I switched...
Because you didn't do it with the intentions of her winning. You did it with the intentions of her going up against the next opponent. So you did it as a strategy move, listening to an idiot named Rush Limbaugh, who really messed up the basis of the Republican structure across the nation in Ohio, well, across the state in Ohio.
So when I do it, it's crazy, and when else does
you,
it, it's...
You did it. You did it because of strategy. So let me tell you
think,
let me tell
now
you
wait what. A minute. Do you think all those people that voted for the liberal Republican in Mississippi are going to vote for him in the fall?
A good portion of them will. If I vote for you once, I'll vote for you twice.
I don't think so.
But I will say this, because the difference between you going out and voting for Hillary, you voting for Hillary, what you did was in Ohio, what you did, you used this Rush Limbaugh strategy. So the next year, we had precinct committee people who followed the Rush Limbaugh strategy that didn't work. They came out and voted for Hillary. So as soon as you pull a Democrat ballot.
You can't be a committee person.
Guess what? Ding, ding, ding. Guess what? You're no longer a committee person. So next year, when we have our committee races.
You're ineligible.
Not only are you ineligible, we didn't have a primary because we didn't have people on the ballot. So you were a Democrat for years.
Two.
Aha. Which means you still couldn't become a precinct committee person.
Right.
That's not a strategy. That's not what this was. That's not what this was about.
I think it was.
No, this wasn't about get him in so they can beat him.
Well,
this was get him in because he wants to win.
No, what it was about is this guy spends money like a drunken sailor, and we don't want the guy that's not going to spend money like a drunken sailor.
But what I'm saying is this guy who went out and got the liberal votes. This guy went out and got the liberal votes so he could win. He didn't go out and get them so he could lose in the fall. The difference is you guys voted for Hillary because you wanted her to go up against McCain and lose.
No.
What was it?
I wanted to keep him fighting. I didn't know who'd win. I really didn't. I just wanted to keep him fighting longer. Because by the time they got to Ohio, if they hadn't kept him fighting longer, Barack Obama had it in the bag.
He already had it in the bag anyhow. Again, that's why we got him. Again, it was bad politics. That's what happens when you listen to people who I call shock jocks. Rush Limbaugh is a shock jock. Everything he says is not always thought through when it comes to political structure. So it can come back and hurt the political party based upon him trying to create a movement.
Okay, so can I be forgiven because I didn't know no better back then?
No.
Oh, okay.
Good morning, Eric. How are you?
Eric's not talking to us.
Yeah, he is.
Hey, Tracy, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you this morning?
Hey, so I'm doing good.
Did you have a good evening?
Yeah. It wasn't bad. Yeah. I wasn't following the conversation.
Oh, I'm going to get you a new phone anyhow. You got to get off of AT&T. I know you have AT&T. I found a sneak secret out.
Everybody keeps wanting us to change to Verizon, or change from Verizon, but Verizon works everywhere.
No, this is AT&T home phone.
People actually still have wired phones in their houses.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that went out with...
I did, too.
...tube television. Mm-mm. Believe it or not, my mom and dad got some kind of a thing from Verizon. They don't have a wired phone anymore either. It's hooked into their house phone wires, but they got this huge satellite dish-looking thingy outside that talks to the cell towers.
Verizon telephone.
Mm-hmm.
Verizon has a television, too.
Oh. I wasn't aware of that.
It's not available in our area.
Oh.
But I can always tell when people have Verizon when I talk to them on my cell phone.
I'm going to rat on you.
I will smash bananas.
No, I helped.
There's a fight getting ready to happen.
I helped you.
At 4040 Simon Road. So somebody needs to come get Sticks because I'm ready to put him out the window.
I can't because
if not, I'm going to tell your wife.
I was your pusher this morning.
You did? That's what I'm saying.
I was your pusher this morning.
We're not telling.
We're not telling.
Concerned about your health?
We'll be right back.
Confused about the amount of prescription drugs you are taking? Wondering which vitamins to take? Call Dr. Matt Mason, board-certified wellness physician as well as a chiropractor at Mason Wellness Center. Dr. Mason combines nutritional therapy, functional medicine, and chiropractic services to keep people healthy and get those of you that are ill feeling better faster. Mason Wellness Center is located on Layer Road in Warren, Ohio. To make an appointment or to receive additional info, call our office at 330-219-6450.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax.
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com. Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
We're back with Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM, 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM, online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com.
we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We have a gentleman coming on. He's going to talk about Agent Orange. There's some big stories out there right now in reference to Agent Orange. And so I want you to stay tuned in. It'll really, really surprise you how there's a lot of things that are going on within our military that they really have not come, they're not, they haven't been forthcoming about. So I want you to do that. And I asked Sticks during the break, because Sticks, I asked Sticks, you know, could you blister from sitting out in the sun and not having sunblock on? And you said yes?
Oh, absolutely. I had it when I was about 14 years old. We were planting corn, and I spent all day in a pickup truck with no shirt on, and the sun coming through the back glass. I had worse than that. I had huge blisters on my back.
From the sun?
Yes.
Really?
You can actually get sun poisoning.
I know you can get sun poisoning, but I never thought it would blister like
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was, when we were talking about this yesterday, and I thought it was from, now, is that for no sunblock, or is that just strictly direct sun, or how does that work? Because I'm a little clueless.
Well, it's radiant energy. It's heat. So it's a burn. It's a thermal burn.
And it just blisters like a, like you would.
Yeah, like if you stuck your hand in a fire.
So do you have to go to the doctor?
I didn't. I mean, but back then we didn't go to the doctor unless you were dying.
So, wow.
Yeah.
Well, no, I've never seen.
Yeah, sun. I mean, you got to be really careful when it comes to the sun.
Yeah, no.
My dad, you know, my dad always wore long sleeve shirts all summer. He would actually tan through his, you know, the dark Dickies work shirts.
Yeah.
Yeah, my dad wore those year round and buttoned to the wrist.
But I never saw anyone go through. I really never knew that.
Yeah.
And because I thought it was a spider bite. Because we were talking about this yesterday. I was with some friends. We were talking about this and I said, well, it looks like a spider bite because you know I've gotten a spider bite and it's blistered. But I've never been sunburned like. And you look at me like, haven't you ever been blistered? Do I look like I lay out in the sun that much to get that kind of blister?
I guess not.
No.
African Americans don't go to the beach to tan.
Yeah, some do, but they don't go out to blister.
Okay.
I mean, I sit in the sun long enough to, because I like the sun. Vitamin D is good for you.
Yes.
I sat out in the sun yesterday and perspired.
And you know, I mean, please.
Please what?
Just bear for my ignorance.
That's not your ignorance.
You told me
I was pasty earlier this year. What?
Well, yeah, you were. After you had your surgery, you looked bad. I mean, yeah, you were lighter than a brown paper bag at one day, which is really, you know. But do African Americans get darker in the summer?
Absolutely.
Okay,
look at this. Look, see, help you out.
Oh, okay. All right.
We tan.
Okay.
We just, but the sun follows us. We don't have to lay out to tan. But see, look, I mean, like your arm, your driving arm. Yeah, I mean, you know, we tan.
Yeah.
We go dark, and some people go darker than that. But and you have to, and we should wear sunblock. We really should.
Well,
or sunscreen.
You're just as susceptible to
skin cancer. Absolutely.
As I am.
Well, a little bit, not as much.
No.
No, because the melanin in our skin actually protects us. It doesn't gravitate. You have the lighter you are, the quicker you burn.
Right.
The worse it is. The darker you are, the less you burn. But African Americans have thought that they didn't need to use a sunscreen, and they do.
Mm-hmm.
Just to protect their skin, because your skin is the largest organ that you have. And you need to keep it moisturized, and you need to keep it protected from the sun. And for a long time, we didn't know that. We thought we were you know, immune from that. It's not true. Listen, we've got our guest, and you want to give his name? You want to introduce him?
Yes. Our guest is John Burry, and he is an unfortunate expert on what's happened with Agent Orange and the Blue Water Navy. How you doing, John?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm still sick and have been sick for a good many years.
Tell us a little bit about you before we go to what's going on with you.
Well, presently I'm working on my fourth cancer due to Agent Orange exposure from Vietnam. I started off with bladder cancer, prostate cancer, kidney cancer. I lost a kidney. Now I have T-cell cutaneous lymphoma non-Hodgkin's cancer, which is a skin disease. and unfortunately attacked the worst part of my body right now, all over my head. It is extremely painful. I am going through radiation treatments presently. We hope it works.
And this came from Agent Orange. Tell us, for those of us that don't know what Agent Orange is about, tell us what it is.
Agent Orange is a chemical compound, better known as a herbicide. It was manufactured by Dow Chemical and also by Monsanto Corporation, who found a way to intensify the product. They had a way of inducing the product to contain dioxin, which is a very deadly chemical, and it cannot be eradicated. Dioxin, once it's in your body, it hides in the fatty tissues of your body. And depending on your immune system, on if and when, more than when than if, you will get sick with various diseases, all sorts of cancers. Likewise, in the male sperm, it also resides there. It resides in the female egg if she were in Vietnam. Hence, it can be then passed on to our children and eventually creep up on them, where they will then in turn get various diseases. They are known as second and third generation children, and there's a possibility that fourth generation children are likewise being infected as well. That's dioxin in a nutshell.
And this is stemming from still Vietnam.
Yes, this is all from Vietnam, and or wherever else it was used or stored, where military personnel came in contact with it.
Wow!
It was sprayed in Vietnam to defoliate the jungles and the forests, the grasslands, and to kill some of the food supply that fed the North Vietnamese.
I need to ask about your benefits. Are you being taken care of as well as you should be? And are there others out there that are getting taken care of as you should be with the condition that you're in, based upon the spraying of Agent Orange on our military?
Okay. I'm retired military. I served for 22 years, but I did have four C deployments to Vietnam. So I am very well covered by an insurance known as TRICARE for Life, to include my Medicare. So I don't have any problems seeing the best doctors in the best hospitals. However, and I do not see the VA. I can use them if I want to, but I don't trust the VA when I can get excellent doctors locally. There are veterans out there who can't afford an insurance or who are not retired, so they don't get TRICARE for Life, and they have to pay high insurance premiums until they go on to Medicare. Then they have to get a supplement to help them out. Most of these ex-military go to the VA for medical care. They put a claim in for assistance and so forth. Unless it is service-connected, normally, under most circumstances, they can't get the proper care that they need. You've heard about the recent VA scandal, and of course that scandal is growing by leaps and bounds right now. Congress and the president are on the bandwagon about the whole issue. Many men have died. I haven't seen the recent records, but it's quite a large number. In the beginning, when it all started, they brought up a number of 40 veterans in Phoenix, Arizona, but there's many more than that. They now have a number of nearly 58,000 veterans who have been denied seeing a doctor. Why? These guys are sick. They didn't cause these diseases for themselves. The government caused these diseases. To give you a little bit of history to go back in time, in 1962, President Kennedy was approached by the Department of Defense and the Monsanto Corporation to present to him a product that could possibly save lives in combat. Well, this is true. It probably did save lives. We probably would have lost three times the number that we did lose in combat, which is about over 58,000 killed. That number could have tripled. However, what happened? President Kennedy first asked one question: will it harm people? He was assured it would not harm people in any way. All right. In 1962, he then put Admiral Zumwalt in charge of Operation Ranch Hand. That's the code name for spraying Agent Orange in Vietnam. In early 63, he was approached by the Veterans Administration that they were seeing an insurmountable amount of diseases showing up. Lung problems, skin problems, kidney problems, just to name a few. And he asked why. So some research then came about showing that it was because of the herbicides. So then President Kennedy then called in the Department of Defense and the Monsanto Corporation, told the Monsanto Corporation he will no longer be buying the herbicides, and he told the Department of Defense he will stop the war. And just with the stroke of his pen. Unfortunately, that did not happen because he died in November 1963 before he could act out what he was going to do. And I'll let that be as it is. People can make up their own minds.
Hey, listen, I've got to take a break real quick. I'll be right back.
Sure.
Listen to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. We have a guest on, and he has cancer caused by Agent Orange, and he's been going through some things from the Vietnam War, and he's going to talk to us a little bit more about it on the other side of the break. We'll be right back.
Okay.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. The Northeast Ohio Correctional Center in Youngstown hopes to continue housing 1,500 federal inmates. Those prisoners could be shifted to an out-of-state prison if the center loses a contract with the Bureau of Prisons. Also, some 400 jobs would be eliminated. The other day, the Bureau of Prisons toured the Youngstown facility and took an assessment. After the findings are released, the contracts will be awarded. A 27-year-old Youngstown woman was just charged with attempted murder, felonious assault, and arson. Investigators say last month, Nadia Baker drove her car up to a home on Imperial Street. A man jumped out of a back seat and fired shots at another man. He wasn't hit. But that same day, Baker allegedly set fire to a home and a car on Mata Avenue. And the Ohio Development Services Agency gave a $5 million tax credit to rehabilitate the Stambaugh Building in downtown Youngstown. There are currently plans to turn the historic building on East Federal Plaza into a hotel. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
Steel Outdoor Power Equipment is as dependable and hardworking as the people who use it. People like firefighter Dan Eddy.
I love steel products. We use them on my job with the fire department. I use them at home.
This season, dependable steel trimmers start at just $129.95. Hardworking steel blowers start at just $149.95. Visit steeldealers.com. All prices BES, SRP, and participating dealers.
Visit Homeworth Sales and Service on Georgetown Road in Homeworth. 330-525-7161. Online at homeworthsales.com.
It's baseball time, Scrappers fans. The Scrappers return to Eastwood Field for a six-game homestand June 24th through 29th. Highlighting the homestand is a youth jersey giveaway, Buck Night, a post-game fireworks show, Youngstown Pride t-shirt giveaway, and a post-game team autograph session. For more information, call 330-505-0000, friend them on Facebook, or visit mvscrappers.com. The Scrappers 2014 season is presented by Subway of Niles. Scrappers Baseball, baseball with bite.
This is an important announcement for anyone with a student loan who is having trouble making their monthly payments. Pay attention. There is a special toll-free hotline that has been set up especially for you. Grab a pen and take down this number or put it in your cell phone. But call 1-800-426-0551. That's 1-800-426-0551. When you call the Federal Student Loan Relief Hotline, you will get free information to help you relieve the overwhelming financial burden of an ongoing, endless student loan. If you're behind, late on payments, or even in default on your student loan, the Federal Student Loan Relief Hotline can help you. You may also be able to cut your payments in half right away. The Federal Student Loan Relief Hotline can also stop the harassing phone calls, wage garnishments, and even remove tax liens. But you have to call 1-800-426-0551. The Federal Student Loan Relief Partner Companies has helped thousands of people just like you fix their student loan problem. Call 1-800-426-0551 for free information today. That's 1-800-426-0551.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor, Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM. Today is Wednesday, and the number is 347-945-5229. We're talking with John Burry, and he is dealing with some afflictions in his body that's caused by Agent Orange. And John, you said this is your what number of cancer is this?
This is my fourth cancer, and this is the one that is likely to get me if they can't do anything with it.
Have they acknowledged it?
Pardon?
Have they acknowledged that this is from Agent Orange?
Yes, it has been confirmed. And
now,
have it confirmed by the VA, so I do get a disability from the VA as 100% disabled combat related.
Now, you were not actually in the country of Vietnam. You were a blue water sailor, correct? Which means
right.
You were,
Right. I was not boots on ground. I was known as Blue Water Navy within the combat zone in the South China Sea. The combat zone is a line that marks from the shoreline out 12 miles. So the ship that I was on was often within that 12-mile limit. And the Agent Orange was in our drinking water. Navy ships do. Yeah. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Yeah. Explain how that is. We've got a lot of people that weren't in the Navy that don't understand how you could be exposed to this. So give us some detail on that.
Okay. When Agent Orange was sprayed in Vietnam, it would drift out to sea with the prevailing winds. Of course, it would get on some of the ships. The big way that we in the Navy were infected with Agent Orange is we were through our drinking water. Now, U.S. Navy ships distill salt water to produce fresh water by way of heat. The Agent Orange was in the water, so the dioxin was not eradicated from the water, and it just intensified by tenfold, so it became stronger due to heating. We drank the water, our clothes were washed in the water, our food was cooked in the water, we showered in the water. We got a lot of that because of ingestion, which is the worst way that you can get exposure to Agent Orange is by ingesting it. So hence, roughly 50 to 60% of Blue Water Navy actually became infected with Agent Orange. That number continues to grow. That is how we became infected as Blue Water Navy.
What do you want people to take away from this? What do you want people to know?
Well, I want people to know that our Congress is not helping us. I want people to know, well, there have been several bills presented to Congress, which have all failed. There is one active bill called House Bill H.R. 543. It is known as the Blue Water Navy Veterans Vietnam Agent Orange Act. That bill is still in session. It's still a good bill. Presently, we have 220 co-sponsors for that bill. These are congressmen who have put their name on the bill. That's greater than 50%. Now, when it's 50% or more, the person who introduced the bill, who is Congressman Gibson of New York, he's a good guy. We really consider him a friend of the military. He then has to argue that bill to the chairman of the Veterans House Committee, who is Jeff Miller of Florida, which he is doing presently. He's in a dialogue with him now about the bill to get it out of the committee and onto the floor for a House vote. So that means that if all those congressmen who became sponsors, it takes 50% to pass the bill. And that is what we're hoping for. The VA scandal really excited all of this. And once the bill is passed by Congress, then it goes to the Senate. The Senate undoubtedly will probably pass it as well, though they may make some revision to it.
Once it is taken care of. What's inside the bill?
All right, inside the bill, in a nutshell, all right, it's quite long. It's several pages long. But what it is it will afford Blue Water Navy, who are infected with Agent Orange, and those who will become infected, will get 100% VA benefits, anywhere from 30% to up to 100%, depending on the severity of their illness. And they cannot be denied. Now, that equates to approximately... right now, on today's numbers, somewhere in the neighborhood of maybe 70,000 veterans, Blue Water veterans, who are infected or who will get infected. So,
why does Blue Water? Now, I have a question. Why does Blue Water veterans and not all veterans that have been exposed to Agent Orange? Because there are some others. There's some Army guys.
They've been exposed to Agent Orange. Yeah.
I mean, there's some other guys out there who. I mean, there's a lot of guys in a lot of the other the arms of the service, military. Who've been exposed
right.
And who are suffering from Agent Orange. Why just make it specific down to one?
Well, it's because, all right, let's go back again. In 1990, Admiral Zewalt wrote a report to the Veterans Affairs, all right, confirming that Agent Orange was a killer, and it was causing various diseases, up to almost 60 different diseases. So that excited the Congress to pass a bill in 1991 called the Agent Orange Act, which afforded all veterans who were involved in the Vietnam War who are sick or who will get sick to give them full VA benefits. In 2002, the Veterans Administration came to President Bush and told him that they were being overwhelmed with claims and they were running out of money. So President Bush or the administration gave the VA a free hand to act as they pleased. So what they did is if you did not have boots on ground, you were denied benefits. They took the benefits away from all of those who did not have boots on ground, such as Air Force, Coast Guard, Navy, and took it away from them, literally.
Now that makes sense.
Okay. Right.
You know,
there was a part in there.
We're like, well, what? I don't understand. So if you were not boots on ground in Vietnam, then they really didn't believe they didn't want to take ownership of it.
Right. So
okay.
So that was all taken away, and then these sailors and airmen had to prove that they were actually infected. There is only one disease that the VA recognizes for Blue Water Navy, and that happens to be lymphoma non-Hodgkin's disease. And I have that disease, unfortunately. It is not a good disease. It's a bad one. And that's the only disease they will recognize for Blue Water Navy. So if we get this bill passed, H.R. 543, if it gets passed, then the VA will have to recognize all diseases caused by Agent Orange for all military, regardless of their branch of service or where they served, so long as they had received the Vietnam Service Medal. And their discharge papers show that they were, in fact, in the military.
440, your mic is on.
Pardon?
Yes, I want to, your guest, I want to thank him for his service, first of all.
Thank you. Did my job.
Yep. I was on boots. I was in country, and I received VA care for Agent Orange. Aside from that, the dirty little secret is that not many people know is that they used the same chemicals and everything to clear railroad tracks inside this country. Think
yes.
of the miles of railroad tracks inside this country and people wondering, oh, how come so-and-so got cancer? There's nothing in their family history of cancer. That's how they cleared railroad tracks. And people don't, you'd be shocked with what goes on, and everybody doesn't realize what's going on.
Right.
Yeah,
I am well aware of all of that. Yeah, well aware.
Hold on, guys. Hold on.
You
what
are.
We saying?
Yeah, the technical name for that herbicide is 2,4-5-T.
Correct.
And a lot of farmers
yes,
used
sir.
It. Clear fence rows. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was released.
Right.
You
can buy herbicides.
It was a commonly used herbicide all over the country.
Yeah. Exactly.
And it was approved by the FDA.
Right, but it has dioxin in it. That's the killer.
Wow.
Yeah.
You can buy Roundup at most any store. It's minus the dioxin, but it is still harmful, especially to children.
Wow.
And animals. Yep.
And animals. Exactly.
Yes. That's why you'll see some animals with tumors in that. I get disability. And,
well, I'm glad you're getting that.
I had to fight like the devil. And of
so
course,
did I.
The host, show host will tell you that I'm kind of a big mouth, anyways. But yeah,
so am I
stood my ground, and I had to really fight to get it. And I get good care from the VA or any other doctors that I have no problems with that. The problem
right.
is
once you get your disability, you get the proper care.
Well, the whole problem is that you got to wait a long time.
Yes.
That's the whole problem. And
right.
a lot of people don't know. That is the whole crux of the problem is that
right. Well, Congress just passed the bill that's going to eliminate
like
that.
2 or 3 months down the road or what, and it's like, really? I got to wait that long?
Yeah.
You know, I need
really?
You know, I need certain care now, not 4 or 5 months down the road.
Right, I
know?
Understand.
And
that's
yeah,
why people
I mean,
are
that's,
dying.
And that's that. That's the problem. I have no problem with the care I get. I mean, they're very good.
You don't hear this conversation. So what do people have to do to make this more widely known that will push Congress into doing the right thing?
Call your congressman. Do not, I don't like anybody coming up and telling me, well, I did it just now, but It's like, don't thank me for my service. You want to thank me? Call your congressman and tell him to act on the VA problems. That's what you can do.
Oh, I'm with you on that, brother.
Yep. You don't have to thank me. That's the thanking part is long gone. That's over with.
I only have a few more minutes but I need to know what, you know, the VA issue and the, because war is war.
True.
And for you to be free, sometimes you have to fight. That it is what
exactly.
It is. But
exactly.
But for us to be in this type of situation to where we know for over at least 50 years, we have politicized our military to where it politicized them. We've taken advantage of them and we've ignored them for 50 years.
We are used as pawns. It all boils down to money. Money.
Money, if the Constitution doesn't speak about we the people with money, the Constitution speaks to the fact of we the people.
Correct.
How do we get our young people, and how do we get the American citizenry to begin to fight for their freedoms again so that we can be free and they can quit using the American citizens as pawns, especially our military?
Correct. Well, one way to do it is to call their congressmen, call their senators, write letters to the president. That pressure needs to be put on to make them do their job. This is exactly what we are doing right now with that bill. Once that bill gets passed, then it will lead to other things for the betterment of the veteran, to include their families. Now, a bill has been passed recently, about 2 weeks ago, to afford veterans to go to private hospitals and private doctors, and the VA will pay for it so long as it's service connected.
See, there's another Blue Water Navy fight with cancer that's coming up now because of the Fukushima reactor disaster.
Yeah.
Because they were taking that water, that seawater off the coast of Japan, and making drinking water out of it. Now there's a lot of those sailors on those aircraft, on those ships, are coming up with cancers.
Hey, John, you want to hold on while I take my break?
Okay.
Thanks. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We will be right back.
WSOM or 347-945.
This is Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from 9 a.m. to noon on News Talk 600. Visit our website for more info about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600.
Steel Outdoor Power Equipment is as dependable and hardworking as the people who use it. People like firefighter Dan Eddy.
I love steel products. We use them on my job with the fire department. I use them at home.
This season, dependable steel trimmers start at just $129.95.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
How do you know the used car you're getting is good? One you can really trust? Well, start with KBB.com's most trusted car brand, backed by an extensive limited warranty, and you've got yourself a certified pre-owned Honda. So get going while the getting is good. Find the one that's right for you at HondaCertified.com. See your Honda dealer for limited warranty details. Based on 2013 Brand Image Awards from Kelley Blue Book, visit KBB.com for information.
From a long-term pattern of this administration manipulating the laws for its own convenience.
Now John Boehner is considering a lawsuit, the House versus the White House. It's not clear which executive actions would be the subject of a case, but from deferring deportations to delaying parts of the health care law, conservatives say the president has too often stepped out of constitutional bounds. They feel it's time for the courts to step in. Stephen Portnoy, ABC News at the Capitol.
A new study says 3D mammography is a useful advance in diagnosing breast cancer. Screening has already reduced death rates from the disease, but even now, tens of thousands of women die each year.
The three main imaging techniques to screen for breast cancer, mammogram, sonogram, and MRI, all three have a place in breast cancer screening. However, they're not all needed for every woman, and not every woman needs every single type of imaging technique.
ABC News medical contributor Dr. Jennifer Ashton. The economy took a turn for the worse in the first 3 months of this year. The government says output dropped at an annual rate of nearly 3%. More severe weather from Texas to the Midwest. That includes flooding in several states. Among the worst hit, Minnesota, with widespread flooding. The party establishment scoring wins against the Tea Party in two Republican Senate primaries in Mississippi and Oklahoma. After 5 years in the anchor chair, Diane Sawyer stepping down at the end of this summer as anchor of the ABC TV broadcast World News.
Welcome to World News. Tonight's a rising
the voice of David Muir, who's going to take over the broadcast in September. This is ABC News.
Whether it's a serious fall, fire danger, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with its slogan, "Help, I've fallen and I can't get up," protects its members. Here are some of them.
When you have a heart attack like I did, and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Now, Life Alert can also protect you in a fire emergency with a system that automatically notifies our monitoring center.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can avoid or delay going into a nursing facility. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now 1-877-522-2215. That's 1-877-522-2215. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure at 1-877-522-2215.
Now news about your money. If you get married or earn a college degree, tell your insurance company about it. Changes in lifestyle can alter how much you pay for coverage. For insurance companies, it's all about the numbers.
As a group, if you're filing more claims and more expensive claims, they're going to hit that group with higher rates.
That's Laura Adams of InsuranceQuotes.com, who says married people file fewer claims than singles.
Being married is good. You actually get lower rates.
Where you live can also make a difference. Adams says tell your insurer if you think you qualify for cheaper rates.
You do have to speak up and kind of be savvy enough to be in the first place to ask for these discounts or know that they exist.
Laura Adams. Starbucks is adding some fizz to the menu, the firm announcing it's going to begin selling what it calls handcrafted sodas. These are physio sodas that are being marketed as something better than regular products with no preservatives or high fructose corn syrup. Richard Davies, ABC News.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Do you find yourself constantly tired? Do you have pain, migraine headaches, or digestive upsets? Or you just feel like your immune system is weak? Call Dr. Matt Mason at Mason Wellness, 330-219-6250, or visit our website at masonwellness.com.
Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon, the show that stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, yo, this is Hey Lana from Arrested Development.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It's 6 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock here on the 25th of June, 2014. Sticks is in studio with me. Today's hump day. I've got a gentleman by the name of John Burry, and he is a former Vietnam veteran from Navy, and he has been exposed to Agent Orange and has had a plethora of cancers because of it. And there are certain things that are affecting our military out there, not only from Agent Orange, but there are other things that we need to keep our eyes and our minds open to, that we need to press our congresspeople on, because they're not doing what they should. I mean, there are some things that they can agree on.
This should be a no-brainer.
This
has nothing to do with Democrat or Republican. This is just
doing the right thing.
Right.
There are some things that they can just agree on. They don't have to, you know, no one wins or loses in this one. It's just the right thing to do.
Right, right.
This is not a political, okay, if Republicans do it. And then leave it alone. Don't add anything on to it that really ticks everybody off. Just pass the bill. Take care of your people.
Right. Now, John, when we were talking on the phone, you said there was a huge cover-up about how Agent Orange was transported. Can you elaborate on that? Because, I mean, according to what you were telling me, tons of people were exposed to this stuff that they had no idea.
Correct. Agent Orange was transported by rail car, by trucks, and whatnot to seaports. Sometimes the barrels on those trucks or rail cars would fall off and be damaged, so it would get into various places. We don't know where or how much. There's really no record of that. However, once it got to the seaports, a lot of the Agent Orange barrels were transported by U.S. Navy ships, such as storage areas in San Francisco, San Diego, Long Beach, California, Bremerton, Washington, Pearl Harbor, the Philippines, Japan, Guam, and where it was stored. Navy ships would pick it up and transport it to Vietnam. Now, the Department of Defense and the Department of the Navy denies that Agent Orange was ever transported on board U.S. Navy ships. I have been able to prove differently. I have photographs of Agent Orange barrels on board U.S. Navy ships being transported and also airlifted by helicopters into Vietnam. So that is in denial, but I can prove differently. I have shown those pictures to congressmen and to senators, and of course they say nothing about it. But that's how it was transported. Also, many of these barrels were damaged on board ship, so there were spills, and sailors had to clean it up. They didn't know that it was harmful. No one told them. Going back some more years, in 1979, the Controller General of the United States got a report from the U.S. Army stating that Agent Orange was not harmful to anyone. So he put out a directive that that those in combat should take a shower every day, change their clothes every day, because to get rid of the contamination off their bodies. Now, you tell me, how does a Marine or somebody in the Army dodging bullets in combat can take a shower and change his clothes every day? No way does that happen. Can't happen. Then the Controller General then directed the Department of Defense and Environmental Services to do a study. Eventually, a study did come out by the IOM, the Institute of Medicine, some years later, back in around 2005, in that neighborhood, 2004, that actually proves that Agent Orange was harmful to humans and it will kill you with various diseases, especially Blue Water Navy, because we ingested it, which is the worst way to get it into your body. So there is proof that it was dangerous. to our troops and to our sailors and to our airmen.
Not the blind light, your mic is on.
Good morning, Tracy. Very serious subject. John, thank you for your service. I tried to go, and I couldn't pass the physical because I'm blind, but that's another story. But I thank you, and I know your humble warrior heart. You said it was your job, but your job is all veterans. You guys do a lot more heavy lifting than the average American will ever know in their lifetime, so thank you.
This is true.
Really.
The average American has no idea what we have to go through and what we do.
No, and I, in some way, I applaud the voucher system so you can get medical care quicker, but my concern is, does the average doctor who sees flu patients and colds and hernias all day, does he even understand what you guys with Agent Orange are up against? You know,
that's correct.
I'm concerned about the quality of care you're going to get. You may get it faster, but, you know, the Veterans Administration does at least, they're kind of like, unfortunately, the experts in this treatment, if you can get an appointment.
Right, providing you don't have to sit there and wait for 6 months to get an appointment.
I understand that,
longer.
Too, and that just points out a whole bunch of other ills with the system, that it's grossly underfunded, and they really don't have enough doctors. And medical care professionals.
But that's a whole other subject. That's a whole other program.
Yeah, exactly. And I wanted to pick up on something that Stick said and John both said, and maybe again another day for another show, but the American public is greatly exposed to diazinon. Exterminators use it in all the inner city housing to kill cockroaches, and that's been the pattern for 50 years in this country. And
correct.
In Roundup and products like that that you bring around your property, those are herbicides, and they're
correct.
A weaker strength, but you're still exposed. And so you get somebody like John who is exposed in the past, massive dose. It isn't good for him to be near any of this anymore, and everybody's using it all over the country.
That's right.
Wow.
Stop buying the products.
Yeah.
We don't even know that. I mean, the problem is we wouldn't buy the product if we knew it, but the problem is most people don't know. And because they don't know, they just go. All they're trying to do is stop weeds from popping up.
Yeah, they go by
the
advertisements they see.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it is true. It is true. The herbicides are deadly. Yes.
Forward, your mic is back on.
Yeah, it was also ingested in right inside country also because they had such a huge runoff into the rivers.
Correct.
And the ponds, and people would, the soldiers used to drink the water, people would be bathing in it, and the whole deal. And I mean, I could actually see there was a couple of guys that was in my unit. I noticed that there was something right away, there was something wrong with them. It affected them, like, right away.
Some it affected within months.
Yeah, one of which I went to school with, and He was dead a year later after he got out. He was done. It was it. And I mean,
your story
I
is not unlike
knows.
What I've heard.
No, it's common. It's common, and nobody knows about it. It's
right.
The dirty little secret in this country. It's
correct.
You know, and I'm sure you ever noticed the weather. Well, it hurts you, don't it?
Yeah,
you're hurt, aren't you? I know you're hurt today, aren't you?
I hurt.
John, tell them where you are right now. Tell them what you're doing and where you are.
I'm at home right now in my office. Later this afternoon, I will be getting another radiation treatment. After the radiation treatment, when I come home, my wife will change my bandages and she will apply medication to my scalp, which is infected. And I will sit there and scream for 15 minutes with severe pain, and I have to pop pain pills. I don't like taking that stuff, but I have no choice. But I will sit here and scream. This is a session I go through every day and have been going through for months, ever since last October, really, when it decided to attack my scalp. It's
I want
severe
you to
pain.
Know. I want you to know that God has a special house for you.
Well, I'm sure he does.
Yes, sir.
And I'm not ready to be welcomed in his house yet because I have work to do. I've got a mission to complete.
It's just amazing. It's just amazing. And my thing is, this is not a conversation that you hear often, and you don't see it, and with all the things that are going on in the world right now.
Yeah. According to the VA statistics, I am 10 years past my life expectancy. I'm 78 years old. I should have died 10 years ago.
I was talking to somebody, and he said that they were in the, I think they call it rat holes in Vietnam.
Yeah, right.
And they wouldn't even see about what's going on with them. I mean, it's such a backlog, the bureaucracy
right.
of what's going on when it comes to Veterans Administration. And,
exactly.
you know, and you can't put poison into a system and then tell me because I wasn't in Vietnam, you can't take care of me.
Right.
But that's the sad thing about our veterans, what we've done to our veterans throughout history is we send them into harm's way, and then when they come home, we don't want to take care of them.
That's
I mean,
true.
Look at the number. I mean, look at going back to World War II, look at the number of guys that came back from World War II that came back functional alcoholics because they didn't want to.
Yes.
Because the government
yes.
didn't want to deal with trauma, the mental stress and the mental trauma that those guys went through.
This is true.
And so my question now is, what do we do, outside of calling our congressmen and pushing forward? There has to be a way for the average American to become more knowledgeable about the disparity and the injustices of people that live next door.
This is the way to do it, is by mass media, on the radio, on TV. I've been trying to get onto national TV shows, all to no avail. Nobody wants to listen to me except the radios. This is my seventh interview on a radio station. It's the only way I can get the word out to the American people to make them aware of what our government did to us and what is happening to us, the diseases that we have contracted. It's crazy, ludicrous.
The problem
and
is
our Congress knows about it, and they don't care.
The problem is snapshot radio is one thing, and I'm a radio fan because that's what I do. But
I appreciate what you're doing right now.
But I can't, with my great radio show, people need to see the images.
Yes.
Correct.
Because it doesn't become real until you see it with your eyes.
I
believe
you the
I sent you a picture of
head.
My head. You can publish that.
Yes.
Go down to a VA hospital. If you don't cry when you leave there, I'll be shocked. Am I right or wrong?
I don't use the VA. I use private doctors.
You go down in the VA hospital.
I've been to the VA hospital for my interviews.
Not like these people. They've got issues. There's problems. They're broken up. They're hurt. The whole deal. This is not like walking into a regular hospital.
Correct.
No, it's not.
I've been there. I've seen it. I've seen it. I know what it's all about. And I've talked to some vets at the VA hospital who have been waiting for 3 months to get an appointment, who come back once a week, and they say, sorry, it's not your turn yet.
Yep.
And they get turned away.
And I will say this, and you have, I mean, not the prop, I mean, John, you have the blessing that you have an external insurance that you can go to and it will take care of you.
Correct.
There's a problem.
I'm one of the lucky ones.
You're one of the blessed ones. But there's thousands of guys out there who don't have the means and or aptitude or job that will give them private insurance.
Let's look at about 400,000 to 500,000 guys, okay, who
that
are
dependent
sick or
upon
will be sick.
A government system that is not that is not taking care of them.
Exactly. Some of the stories I have heard, some of these veterans have had to remortgage their homes just to pay their medical bills because they can't get it from the VA. Some have sold their homes to get out of debt for medical assistance because the VA won't take care of them because of that waiting period. They need help now, not 6 months from now.
That waiting period will kill you.
The government looks at the regular soldier as being disposable and expendable. That's all there is to it.
We are expendable.
Hey,
what did you say,
there's
Aaron?
One guy out there. There's Montel Williams is very, very passionate about this subject. He is very passionate about it.
Yes, you're right.
Talk to him.
Yes, you're exactly right.
He's very passionate about it, but his national stage is limited because, remember, he no longer has a show that he once had in the afternoon. See, we fail to realize what we put on in the afternoon right now doesn't always speak to what's going on in our world. So by the time you get to Montel Williams in the middle of the night and he's doing infomercials or he's on somebody else's show, but as far as us to have a medium that is actually going to address these types of situations with the veterans and the serious issues of life, with all the news shows that we have on in America right now, with between our cable systems and our satellite systems, you would think we would have shows that would really get to the meat of this, of different issues.
To be honest, I don't think
I have tried
American
to contact
cares.
Mr. Williams.
I don't believe that.
No avail.
I don't believe they don't care. The media doesn't care because this is not the kind of stuff that really sets you on fire. They don't want you to know. Stuff's hidden.
Well, I mean,
that's right.
What we've done. I'm a Cold War vet, and I've got people that tell me that the Cold War wasn't even really a war. Which, if you were there, it was a war. But the thing is, what they've done for my age group is all of our VA benefits have been means tested. So if you've saved your money and you're 55 years old and you lose your job, you get no VA benefits.
Correct.
In fact, for my age group, they've changed my retirement rules several times.
No comment. Diva, your mic is on.
I just wanted to say that there was something very telling that the gentleman mentioned earlier. And I just want to say thank you for your service. And I'm sorry that you're going through what you're going through. Never experienced combat or anything, but in being diagnosed with a rare cancer, I can tell you I surely know what you're feeling and how you're dealing with it and everything. You spoke of Monsanto and how Monsanto was a part of getting Agent Orange out there, and the most scariest part about that is now Monsanto has gotten into the agriculture business.
Correct.
And a act has been passed with Monsanto leading it where they will allow GMO foods to be grown and produced and sold to the masses, but yet no recourse will be allowed to be done if, in fact, it comes about that what these GMO foods will cause harm, which there are studies that we already know that GMO foods are not really good for us.
Correct.
That's the scariest part about it. They started with during that time, and now they're bringing it into our food supply.
Yeah. Let me interrupt you for a moment there. The GMOs, several states are beginning to take a strong look at GMOs, and they want it to be labeled on our foods. So let the consumer decide whether they want to eat those foods or not. This doesn't make any sense. GMOs should be banned 100% by our Congress. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, I'm
and I agree.
And I disagree.
What? Monsanto?
I disagree about GMOs.
What?
There's no way we can ban them.
You don't have to ban them, but you need to tell me that they're there.
Oh, I'm all for labeling.
You need to tell me that they're there.
The thing is that we cannot feed this nation without them.
I can't help that. That's too bad.
Because you can't go back to 60 bushel acre corn.
But again, the genetically modified foods that we have, putting pesticides in there that are going to stunt my growth, that are going to cause me tumors, that are going to cause me to have cancers, that are going to cause. I need to know if Monsanto is against my medical, against my system of eating, who I am as a person, and it causes me to have blisters and it causes me to be sick. I need to know that it's in there. No matter what it is, whether it be a banana or a piece of corn.
Correct.
I was talking to someone the other day, And we were talking earlier. Stick, you were talking about a coffee enema.
Yeah.
And I was talking to, we were talking about what they call cleanses. Because when you're eating and you're dieting, you should have a you need to have a clean system. And so they tell you that you need to clean yourself out. And I ate some corn, and the corn didn't digest.
Corn never digests.
So why do we eat
that's correct.
Whole corn because
it tastes good.
Because it tastes good.
Okay, so if corn never digests,
it's good roughage.
That's not roughage.
Correct.
That was I had everything but the cob that I didn't eat come out.
That's right. And it's also fiber to clean your
No. That's not a fiber.
Wheat is a good fiber.
Wheat is, but not corn like that. Corn is a starch. It stays in your system that causes bulk. So why does that not ingest? You would think that once you you're chewing on it, you're eating corn, it should digest somehow.
It will if you grind it up.
Eric, your mic is on. Eric?
Yeah.
I just think it's a real shame that, you know, that last week Congress was grilling Dr. Oz about diet pills. You had this problem going on with Agent Orange, and there's nothing being said. It's a real tragedy.
You know, you got a point about that. Now that was the true words I have. That was so good. I watched them
go off on
Dr. Oz. And they had a whole hearing on this and was all over the news about Dr. Oz and his weight loss program.
Well, how many of those Congress leaders, how many of those congressional members have been in Congress for so long? They passed so many bills that they know are now back fighting them. But do you think they're really going to sit there and hold themselves accountable and have a hearing on something that they probably helped us along or did nothing to prevent? Mm-hmm. With Dr. Oz, they don't have any accountability. They can point all the blame and the finger at him and possibly manufacture. But they're not going to stick to anything that's going to point the finger back at them.
I got to take a break, and I want to say, John, you're more than welcome to hang out with us. But this is,
okay.
I appreciate you, and I appreciate your time, and I want to thank you for coming on with us. But I've got to take my break.
Like
but
to,
before I
I'd like to mention one thing about GMOs.
Okay, just give me 1 minute. Anytime you can get me, Styx, and Diva, and Eric, and Not So Blind Mike to agree on something, this is kind of serious.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
Because you're looking at people who are libertarians, who are very, very right liberals,
left
liberals, and very, very right conservatives, and then moderate conservatives, where we usually never see eye to eye. So if we can actually, in this small little micro conversation, come to a consensus that, you know, this is something that's the right thing to do, why is it that our congresspeople can't see the same thing? Go ahead, John.
One thing I'd like to mention about GMOs. GMOs will affect young children more than they will adults. Reason being is because young children's immune systems are still developing up to the age of 22, 23 years of age. So we are going to have more sick children than we will have adults because of GMOs, because of the development of their immune systems.
He's got a point there, Styx.
Yep, this is a fact.
And I can agree with Dr. Daniel. We have a naturopath that comes in here, and we get in this discussion about GMOs. I'm a farmer, and the thing about it is, she explained to me, and I will agree with her this way. By using the GMOs, we're putting the hybridization into hyperdrive. The human body is not able to accommodate it, and I'll agree with that theory.
And so,
correct.
So now we have these children. We have these children that we are feeding these bad drugs to, and their immune system is being demolished.
Correct.
And remember, it's like smoking. When we were kids, it was
everybody
cool to smoke.
Everybody
smoked. It was cool to smoke, and they knew we were dying from the smoke, but nobody did anything about the smoke because it was just smoking and it was cool. Now nobody smokes. They ban everybody from smoking, and people are walking around with oxygen tanks as big as my head trying to breathe.
I mean, there are so many facets to this argument, but the simple fact is we cannot go back to 60 bushel acre corn.
You're missing my point. We may not be, but you have to. Actually, we can't go back to that, but we can stop paying farmers from farming.
I agree.
We can allow people to go back to in creating our own foods. We can have a choice on, right now, if you go to buy organic seed, you need to mortgage your house.
No, you don't.
Yes, you do.
You can get open pollinated seed real cheap.
No, you can't.
Yes, you can. You just don't buy it off the guy on television.
You can buy it off the guy on
television. You go down to Amish country and get it from the Amishmen. You can get open pollinated seed.
I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 6.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Everybody's still here.
Yeah, this is John.
And then normally when she goes on break, we still have an opportunity to talk during break.
Okay.
So I was just checking to see who all was out there.
Yeah. Are you the farmer?
Am I the farmer?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, you're not the person who was the farmer. Okay.
No.
If you have a question for me, I can try to answer it.
No. I was the one who brought up the Monsanto Act and just in reading how some of the Congress members didn't even realize that the Farm Bill they passed, they didn't realize what was all in it, and they just passed it, and this is the Congress that we have to deal with, and it's very sad.
Well, Monsanto realizes they know what's in, they know the product. See, Monsanto is so wealthy that they have our Congress in their pocket.
Now, you say GMO mainly will affect children, since their immune systems aren't that developed. What about
that's correct.
Those who have compromised immune systems as well?
Well, that can be even more effective to them as well, and whatnot. But it's mostly our children because of the development of their immune system. Their immune system is not developed until they're in their early 20s, and this is a big problem. They're eating these GMOs.
Hello. Hello, Diva. Hello, everybody.
Hey, Stan.
Hey. I think that I want to go back to what you said, Diva, and I so much agree. If we're going to change the whole thing, we have to have a total honest research about not only the GMO, about the meat we eat, the GMOs, the eggs, and the milk.
Correct.
We need to have a total information of telling the truth to people. Because GMO is one part, but I'm sorry to say the meat industry is another part that we need to talk about. And we don't talk about it at all.
It's in everything. It's in our meat. It's in our vegetables and whatnot.
Yeah,
it's in our fruit.
And the food industry, like you're saying, is a big part because if you start talking and telling the truth to people, can you imagine if we come to a point that we tell it, everybody knows the information and are informed of saying, if you eat this meat, you will have cancer or you will die or you will do this. You think the meat industry want us to know that? Or the egg industry
not.
Or the milk?
Of course not, and Monsanto is the big ruler on this. They won't allow those facts to be known. They do have facts, but you'll never see them.
Yeah.
They're hidden.
But the worst part about it is it's in just about all, everything that we consume. Even the
correct.
So-called healthy stuff, it's in this. So
right.
It's like, what do? You starve or you have to grow your own fruits and vegetables and still your own food.
Well, look at this as well. GMOs are in the breast milk of a mother.
Yes, yes.
Okay, and that's been proven.
Yeah, because whatever the mother consumes goes into the
baby. Exactly. So a child who is newborn breastfeeding, okay, is being contaminated within moments of birth.
And the worst part about all of this is you, at least you were able to get, even though you had to fight, you had to get recourse for what Agent Orange did. Now, with this law, there is no recourse for what GMOs could possibly do to people.
Right. Yeah. We need to have that bill passed. It's very important because it will lead to bigger and better things. That's the most important bill right now.
Yeah, it's right, because my uncle was in the same situation you were in. He was in the Navy as well, and he contracted Agent Orange-related illnesses, and he passed away in 95. And, you know, unfortunately, like you said, because of the red tape and the bureaucracy, he didn't get the help he needed.
Yeah, well, he passed away in 95, so look at all the years it took to catch up to him. It took 35 years to catch up to me. It takes a long time, some within months. Some it could take decades.
Water,
I do not have a life anymore. My life is nothing.
How high is the water, Papa? She said it's 2 feet high and rising. But we can make it to the road in a homemade boat, because that's the only thing we got left that'll float. It's already over all the wheat and oats. 2 feet high and rising. How high's the water, Mama? 3 feet high and rising. How high's the water, Papa? She said it's 3 feet high and rising. Well, the hives are gone, I lost my bees. Chickens are sleeping in the willow trees. Cows in water up past her knees. 3 feet high and rising. How high's the water, Mama? 4 feet high and rising. How high's the water, Papa? She said it's 4 feet high and rising. Hey, come look through the window pane. The bus is coming, gonna take us to the train. Looks like we'll be blessed with a little more rain.
What is he talking about? I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy on WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. It's 38 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock here on the 25th of June, 2014. Today is Wednesday, and I have Sticks in studio. Sticks, what are you talking about?
You live in Northeast Ohio. What's it been doing for the last month?
It rains at night. Who cares? As long as it rains at night, it's okay.
Have you seen the headwaters of the Mahoning River lately?
No.
They're right out there by me.
Okay.
Yeah, they're 5 feet deep.
And?
5 feet over top of the corn.
Well, whatever.
I'm telling you right now, we were just talking about this during a break, and it's going to be a bad harvest this year if it doesn't stop raining.
Does everything have to be concerned about the harvest? It rains at night. As long as the sun shines in the daytime, it's okay.
You'll care in the fall when your beef that's already up 40% is up another 40%.
Beef is already up, so that's why we're going to become chickatarians.
Tracy, may I interrupt for a moment?
Go ahead.
Are you finished with me, or shall we go on?
You, it's up to you, sweetie. I'm gonna continue on. I'm gonna open up my mics, but if you want to hang out with us, you're more than welcome. We'll let people go where they want to go. We've got some people sitting there on the sidelines. If they want to jump in, they're more than welcome to. But
right,
I want to thank you for your time.
I have a doctor's appointment to get to for my radiation session. So
thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you, John. And we'd
like to have
you
back again.
I'd be
more than happy
to
come on your show at any time.
Thanks a lot, John, and God bless you.
Right. Thank you for having me on, and thank you for your prayers.
You're welcome.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. Have a good day, everyone.
Thank you. You got your commercial right in.
I got my commercial.
438, I think that's Stanley. How are you this morning, darling?
I'm good, Tracy, and for the first time I have to say I agree with you. So here you go. We have one more name you can add.
We better get this bill in front of Congress right
now. This is kind of serious.
Exactly.
I was so disappointed when we had the Dr. Oz. Instead of take out Dr. Oz, how come we don't have a committee of having a meeting about all the food and telling us the truth? And I'm sorry to say, Six, I need to know the truth. If it's the meat, if it's GNC, if it's everything, tell me the truth. Don't lie to me and let me make my choice. If I want to take that food and I know it's going to bring me cancer, meat, eggs, the milk industry, let me make that choice. Stop covering us and stop telling us. Let us make the choice as people.
Stanley, you misunderstand me. I have no problem with labeling. I have no problem at all with labeling and telling people. What I'm trying to make people understand is, on one hand, and this is especially true of the left, on one hand you want to get rid of all of this stuff, all this modern agriculture that we have, but still you want to take 30% of the U.S. corn crop and turn it into ethanol to run your car on it, and if you do away with the modern agriculture, that's going to turn into 90% of the corn crop and turn it into ethanol. And that's the thing. If you want this stuff, you're going to have to make trade-offs. Yes, tell people and let the people decide.
But, see, GMO, that's going back. Because, see, you said that we shouldn't ban GMO.
No.
But hold on. But Monsanto actually, if you look at Monsanto, they actually got a government patent.
Mm-hmm.
They actually are doing some real crazy stuff with the government.
But you don't have. If you're a farmer, you do not have to buy those seeds.
But if you want to have distribution, because they have overregulated organic gardening. They have regulated organic gardening to where people who are organic gardeners have a hard time even getting their product to market just based on the regulations.
So
you can't tell me that you can underregulate Monsanto and just let them have a free-for-all, but if I want to have a natural garden, I'm overregulated.
I agree. The government needs out of all of it. I agree. There should be no ag subsidies, and there should be nobody stopping anybody from growing groceries on their own land.
But they're never going to do that. So in a real world, it's like you with your zoning. You think that nobody should have any zoning so you can be able to do whatever you want with
That's
your property.
Right.
It's not going to happen.
Where I live, it does.
But
it works quite well.
I've been to my house, I got neighbors. Yeah, you got cornfields. Excuse me, Diva. You got cornfields.
You can see my neighbor's house from my house.
Yeah, but your neighbor's house doesn't butt up against your house. My neighbor's house butts up against my house. So if I throw my dishwater out the sink, I'm going to slap her in the head.
Hey, I live in that neighborhood because my neighbor's house is not too close, but it's close. I live in a small community, but we're surrounded by cornfields and alpaca farms and sheep farms and goat farms and all that. But my thing is, it can be done, Tracy. I think the problem is a lot of people do not know. So, I don't know anybody who really knows, but I don't know anybody within my family, my whole community that knows and understands what GMOs are and what they do to the body. All they know is they go to the grocery store and they buy food. That's it.
Well, see, Diva, there's a lot of misinformation about GMO, too. A lot of people think that hybrid and GMO are the same thing, and they're not. That's one thing you got to understand. Now, hold on, let me finish, please, and then we'll have a nice dialogue here because we're agreeing today, and that's unusual. A hybrid is when you take two of the same species and you crossbreed them to make a better of that species. And the thing about a hybrid is once it's hybrid, that seed will not reproduce another plant. It's like a horse and a mule, a horse and a donkey. You made a horse and a donkey to make a mule. Mules do not reproduce.
Some female mules can reproduce. Not likely, but some can. But
they hybrid buffalo and cattle and make beefalo.
But this is the issue. Let me know what you're feeding me.
I agree.
When I go to the store, I'm finding out that when I buy produce, And I'm not talking about Jeanette. I'm not talking about organic produce. I'm just talking about I want produce that hasn't been, you know, genetically altered. They
right.
don't
and,
tell you that.
And okay, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. Would you, at the grocery store, would you buy sweet corn that had worms in it? If it was sitting there in a basket, would you buy sweet corn with worms
in it? Let me say this. I don't want to buy sweet corn with worms in it, but if you get it to market fast enough.
It comes off the stalk with worms in it.
All of it?
Not every year.
Right.
Not every year.
Right.
When I
go to the store, I pull it down. Hold on, Alabama. I pull it down, and I inspect my corn when I go buy it. I mean, I pull it off the
I mean, when my corn...
I shuck my corn right there in the store, and I look at it, look at the kernels. I actually pop a kernel to make sure that it has juice in it. You know, so I inspect my corn, but I also knock on my watermelons, too.
When I pull corn off the stalk on the garden, I would say half of the corn has worms in the top of it.
Why does it have worms in the top?
Because...
But can you wash the worms off?
Oh, absolutely. That's what we do.
Okay. So you wash them off. You put it in the pot, and there you go.
The majority of people, if they go to a grocery store and they see an ear of corn with a worm in it, they will not buy that ear of corn.
Sticks, we've been conditioned to do that.
Yeah, right.
I mean, come
exactly.
on. Now, we've been conditioned to be scared of worms. Worms used to crawl up when it rained every time. Now you haven't seen a worm in a long time. I mean, we've been conditioned to be scared of insects that actually help our gardens grow. If you don't have worms, you don't have a good irrigation system. You want those worms there.
Right. You want earthworms. You want earthworms, and you want certain insects.
Yeah, that's correct. And we're not afraid of everything. And because of the way life is and the way things are going, we're not paying attention. We're focusing on the minors instead of on the majors.
We're too
because
sanitized.
So right. Go ahead, Alabama.
Yeah, to speak to the point about the actual plants and stuff like that, like you had a guest on your show a while ago that broke down. There are many forms of protecting plants that don't involve actual gene splicing, all that genetic stuff. You can protect plants. Plants can be grown. It's feasible, but there's a lot of propaganda out there telling you that it's not. I mean, they say most of what we grow in the middle of the country is actually used for other parts of the world. Now, if you're just talking about feeding America, we don't need as much as we think we do. I think we kind of have been sold a bill of goods to try to get people, companies to use, you know, they spend, Monsanto's rich and wealthy, so they put out a lot of misinformation that's going to protect their interests. So, well, just anytime you're sitting up here, we've been growing plants for thousands and thousands of years. All of a sudden, we can't sustain. I doubt that very seriously.
But Alabama, I'm 50 years old, and I remember 60 bushel acre corn. It hasn't been that long ago. And the thing is, all agricultural products are commodities. They're sold on a world market.
We don't sell ours. We trade ours.
We sell it.
That too.
All over the world. In fact, agricultural exports are the number one dollar export in the United States.
So let me ask this: then why are we still starving in America? So they say.
We're not.
Okay. Go ahead. Go. Y'all can finish your discussion. I just thought I'd ask.
When I hear
you
stuff
know,
like that, it bothers me, though. It's almost like because of 60 bushels per acre, that's what you're saying, that's what we were able to get, right?
I remember when I was about 14 years old, Glenn Grover had a 100 bushel acre cornfield, and it was front page news in the local newspaper. And now they're talking 220, 230, 220, 230.
Well, what I'm saying is, okay, but there are ways to get that done. No, it's not always. We don't have to always genetically modify.
Well,
the guess
that
she had from that some college you guys got up there, that's what he was saying. He was saying it can be done. You can do certain things. It's been done in other cultures. They do stuff like that. It's not always go trust in this, some science and pump some chemicals and kill people.
No. Nobody has the crop yields in the world that the United States has.
They may not have that, but the thing is, what are we doing to – I mean, right now, if you look at the infertility of women, it is growing. If you look at the cancer rates in people, it is growing. If you look at a lot of the things that we are dealing with right now, we're dealing with diseases and things that we've never dealt with before.
Let me finish.
If you look at some of our young people, young girls and young men didn't develop as fast.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, you can almost see a 5-year-old, and the 5-year-old needs a training bra.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're ingesting some things. All things, whether it be steroids or whether it be Monsanto, whatever it is, they're putting some things into the system that's causing our bodies to be altered.
And I would say, from my experience and what I've seen, it is probably what happens to that product after it leaves the farm, not the base product.
Whether it be the product after it leaves the farm, or whether it be the product that leaves the farm, whether it be the product that is prior to the farm, whether it be the seeds.
Because when I bake bread at home,
yes,
flour, yeast, and water,
right,
and oil.
Okay.
Go buy a loaf of bread and look at all the ingredients in that loaf of bread. It ain't flour, yeast, water, and oil. I can't even pronounce.
But even if you look at flour now, the wheat that produced the flour, the processing that produced the flour, the additives that they add to cornmeal now, the things that they add. Even at the root of it, and that's what we're getting to. We understand that you look at a piece of gum, and there's a whole bunch of stuff in there outside of gum.
Right.
So I'm talking about to the root of the matter, the root they're adding to. So we almost have layers and layers of chemicals that are going into our system, even if they call it organic. So now they've gone to the seed. So now the seed has been modified, but they don't tell you that the seed has been modified. You know, I was I've got to call Sam to get him on here to talk about cattle. We think that we're not eating cloned beef, but we've been eating cloned beef for a long time.
No, you're not eating cloned
beef. When I say cloned,
you're eating test tube. You're eating
absolutely.
You're eating an embryo that was fertilized inside a petri dish and then implanted in a cow. That's not cloning.
Again, it has been, our beef is so modified now, and they've been doing it for 50, 60 years now. This is not new. We think that it's new.
No, it's not.
But we're almost to clone meat. Because right now, the way that they breed cows that we consume are genetically modified.
Yes, they are, for
reproduction. Yes, they are. They grow faster.
Yeah, they're bred for that. They're not genetically modified. That's natural selection.
No.
No, it's not. We're doing something to make them grow bigger.
They're growing bigger. They're growing faster.
They're growing bigger. And look at the effect of what's happening with our population. We're getting fatter and fatter because of that, too.
And we're sitting on our backside more and
more. Listen. People are exercising. I'm watching people exercise on an ongoing basis, including myself. And people are still not losing weight as they should. Local call, your mic is on.
What?
Huh? Good morning.
I thought that was Jeffrey.
No, that's not Jeffrey. Good morning. He's gone now. Somebody called him when they called us.
And that's the thing I want Six to do, because I remember Six. I told you that. Remember when I told
you're
you
wrong,
the meat
Stanley.
Thing? I'm not wrong, Six. I'm not. I could bring you expert after. I could bring you John McRae.
Tell us what we're talking about.
Expert after Six, expert
Sam,
after
Stanley,
expert who
Stanley,
will tell you
tell us what,
that
these tell us what we're talking about. Stanley, tell us
when
what we're talking
came,
about.
When you have the doctor coming
Stanley,
back and I came back to
tell
yes.
us Stanley, tell us what you're talking about.
Okay, one point I told Six that we have a problem with the meat, and the meat is one of the reasons that we have a problem in our society, and Six was coming back saying, no, it's not. But when I'm telling you that, I can bring doctor after doctor who will tell you, Six, that they see it. It is the egg. It is
Stanley,
this. It is.
Stanley,
Wait, let me just finish one thing. And I agree with Tracy. I know some people who train hard. Very hard, who are disciplined, who does the work, who moves out. They don't lose weight. They don't lose
Stanley,
weight
do you,
at all. But
you,
as soon as you change their food, suddenly the weight goes down. You take out a little bit of the egg, you take out a little bit of the meat, you take out a little bit of the milk. Suddenly they went from this to boom.
Stanley, do you know the difference between breeding for trait and genetic modification?
No.
Why don't we do it this
way? Okay, let me tell you this. Let me explain how this works. If I have a cow that gives me 100 pounds of milk a day, okay, and all of her sisters give me 80 pounds of milk a day, and she has a bull calf, I take the semen from that bull calf and I go breed it to another cow that gives 100 pounds of milk a day, hoping that trait that gets me 100 pounds of milk a day carries through into that offspring. We do the same thing with chickens. We had Sharp here, and he was talking about the chickens. And they had almost bred the wings clear off of chickens, just with natural selection, because wings weren't worth any money, breast meat was. With the advent of wings being popular, now they're breeding chickens with larger wings. You look at Duroc hogs.
Okay, let me break this down to you. Again, you're modifying.
No, you're not.
But you're not. What do you mean you're not? I'm going to take a break. But they are modifying, and when I say modifying, they are going into the DNA structure of their best and causing whatever, pulling out the genes that they want, selective gening. And I know there is a more technical name for it, so I have to bring Sam on here to tell me it because he talked to me for hours about it. So I'll get him on, I promise. They actually, the designer cloning or the designer breeding is a more, it is a, it, they are doing this so that they can create chickens and birds and cows and pork. So for, and yes, and they're not breeding one A and B. They are selectively pulling out certain genes to get what they want. You're not supposed to have a chicken with no wings, and you're not supposed to have a chicken whose wings are bigger than the chicken. That's not natural, which means you had to modify and or change something.
No, this is selective breeding.
There's more than selective breeding because you got more than two chickens doing the chicken to come up with a chicken.
Tracy, they got chickens that are so big, they get crushed under their own weight. And when they get cancer and they have cancer in their body, they just cut that piece off and sell you the chicken with the. So the chicken that have cancer, they'll just cut it off.
Yeah, they're called.
He got cancer in his wing or something. They'll cut it off and sell it to you.
Exactly.
The breed is called Vampirus. We were growing them in the 70s on my dad's farm. Yeah, we'd have an 18 pound rooster.
Why would you have an 18 pound rooster?
What's wrong with an 18 pound rooster? 18 pound roosters are a good thing.
18 pound rooster, because you don't eat rooster, right?
Yes, you do.
I'm not eating rooster.
We didn't make capons out of them, that's for sure.
I'm taking a break. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM. The number is 347-945-5229. I'll be right back.
Yep.
Yeah, sticks, man. That's the problem. Farmers, they've been bred to think like sticks, man. That's how they think, man. They don't believe they're doing nothing bad to people. Folks getting cancer, dying, and
they're not moving enough, or they're not doing this. But then you tell them, let's take 100 people that are saying you're not moving enough. Let's make them move. And let's see the difference. And suddenly, let's change a little bit their food. And suddenly, whoops, they lost all the weight. Whoops.
He obviously thinks that we need GMO to sustain their level, as if we're all eating the food. Most of what they're growing now is going for gas. They're not using that junk to feed. They did. You could feed America with the land we got here comfortably. That has nothing. That's an excuse.
Yeah, I agree. It's the whole food industry doesn't want to tell you the truth, because if they start telling you the truth, the meat industry would not be happy, and the milk industry would not be happy. Why are we still drinking milk?
Milk scratches your arteries.
Shouldn't be drinking at all.
Milk scratches your arteries, and there are people that got high-fat diets, like Eskimos, that don't have heart problems and clogged arteries. But Americans, we drink so much milk, our arteries get scratched up on the inside, and we have high cholesterol. You can have an HDL, LDL off the charts as an Eskimo, and they still healthy. They don't have no problem. It's what
exactly.
We're doing with our bodies.
Yeah, and it makes me laugh when I go to you ask anywhere, why are we drinking milk? Oh, it's for calcium. You can get better food to get your calcium. You don't need to have milk to
you
have calcium.
You get that from kale. You get that from kale. You get that from all types of stuff, man.
Exactly. And I'm like, you can get it from other things. Oh, I need my calcium. Yeah, but you don't know what happened with your body when you drink that milk.
That
or when you take eggs, you don't know what happened to your body. Why
cement.
Do you need to eat those things?
Cheese will turn into cement. It'll be cement. Like when you go, I went to get my colon clean. Lady was telling me, a lot of people don't know, you eat that cheese, it gets hard as a brick in your colon, and
yeah.
It stays in there for years. It's like cement. Like it doesn't.
Oh.
Cheese is not. You got to be careful with cheese.
Yeah, you got to be careful. If you go see a colon cleanser, oh my God, you don't want to know what he tells you. You're like, what? Yeah, this is what happened. You go there and you do a cleanse on that, and they put that in
I know a lady that'll get fat off people. They do this ultrasound thing. She says some people will come and get the fat to get the treatment, but it doesn't come off and they'll be upset. But their body's so toxic that the treatment doesn't work. Your body, your kidneys, and your liver has to function at least a decent level. And if it doesn't, they'll say, oh, this fat treatment didn't work. I got this treatment, and I didn't lose any weight. And you see that before I picked you, like, okay, well, you fat as a house. You got globs of fat hanging off you. And you think you're just going to go sit down under some microscope and they run a little ultrasound and the fat just come off. Your body can't metabolize fat because your body ain't functioning. It's poorly viscerated, don't have any veins.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's sad when it comes to, the human body.
Yeah, it's very sad. We would treat our own car, we would treat our dog, we will treat anybody better than our own body. We will accept saying, like I hear, well, we can't do. We will accept it saying, I'll still eat this, even though it's not good for your body. Even though it's
I get people telling me you're in good shape. I mean, you don't have, like, I still take care of my body. I still, like me and my girl, we'll smoke hookah sometime, like the little thing. I've been telling her, like, look, we've been doing this too much. I don't like, I'm going to stop. I'm going to take a fast. I don't want to mess with it, Paul. Give me a couple of months. She's like, well, you don't have no problems. I don't have none, but that's how you get them, because you feel like you look in the mirror and you see a six-pack and you think I'm good.
Yeah.
You're still messing your body up when you're putting that stuff in there. And when you get 60, 70, there's a reason I'm at my age and I still look decent, because I take care of myself.
Yeah, and that's the thing, you're lucky you have a girlfriend that takes her health. Trust me, you don't want to have the other side that you could love somebody and tell her the truth, especially I had a debate with my friends and a girlfriend, and you should have seen this. The guy that was with the girl, that everything, she was like, well, you should accept the girl the person for what she is and compliment her, even though she has a health problem. And I'm like, this is where we have a problem.
But she don't love you. She don't love herself, and she don't love you if she's killing her body like that. I don't care what nobody says. I don't believe that. Don't sit up here and tell me that you love me and you want to be around for if we have a family and you pumping all these chemicals in your body. Now you're lying.
Exactly.
To me.
Exactly. And nobody telling you to do this and you quit and I can't lose the weight. I can't do this. Okay. Let's look at this. What are you eating? What are you doing? Let's cut the meat. Let's do this. Like, no, I can't cut the meat.
We understand that when it comes to a job now. When you come to a 9-to-5, you don't love your family enough to go out and get a job and take care of yourself. But when it comes to health, we don't think like that.
No, when it comes to health.
Of health, we think of insurance. We think, as long as I got health insurance, I'm good. They kill me. If something happens, I got insurance. I'm okay. That's the problem right there. Instead of saying, why don't you be preventative? Because I really don't trust this healthcare system, even if I do got insurance.
I'm telling you, the industry that I'm working on, and that's my business, is in weight loss. I shouldn't be having so much money coming in on weight loss. I shouldn't. I shouldn't be poor like hell in weight loss. But the industry is getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
But this is why you only connect with someone on a relationship level, on an intimate level, with those who are like-minded like you, and so you won't have these struggles. If someone does not care about their health as much as you do, there is nothing you can do, nothing you can say that is going to get them to change that mindset. They would have to want to change it for themselves. So why put yourself through that? Why put the relationship through that? You can't deal with it, walk away.
Well, it's not so easy to do, Tracy. It's not so easy to do, Diva. When you fall in love with the person, you care about the person, she's been loyal to you, she's been there when you needed her. You're not going
to
drop that person.
You have to accept her for who she is. You have to accept
no,
her.
No, I don't. I don't have to accept her No, I don't.
Hold on, Stanley. Stanley, what she's saying is shut up and take it. Just let her get fat and don't say nothing. You just ain't attracted to her. So what? You don't want to have sex with her. At least you told her, right?
Yeah, I told her. I told her, like, you need to take care of your health. This is a problem. If you want to have kids with me, you need to change this. You need to be your temple this. Because, Diva, let me just tell you how she is. She is a very ambitious thing. In every other thing, she will not accept. She will not accept victimhood. That's why I'm attracted to her. In business, she is the straight-up person who will tell you, if I need to do this, I'll do it.
Okay.
In
so
everything, and she succeeded in everything. She has her own condo in New York. She has her own career in New York. She's doing another business. I could go through the whole example of my girlfriend of what she accomplished. She accomplished more things than people did at
so
25 she did.
So
you're going to tell me that her weight, her health, you can't accomplish that?
Have you ever seen a show where she's not there.
And that's a problem. She should care. She should care.
But it's not for you to force her to care. You're about to hear, we swear, the best star rappers of the year. So, cheerio, yell, green bravo. Also, if you didn't know, this is called the show.
What did you say, Six?
That wasn't me that ding. Must have been you.
It was me.
Messing with Doug again.
No, that's not Doug.
I didn't see who it was.
That was Rick.
Oh, okay. Slick Rick.
That's Slick Rick.
Okay.
Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Download the WSOM app and take a look at it. Take a check it out. We're there. We want to build it. We want you to help us with it. So please go ahead and download that. You can check us out on TracyandFriends.com. The new website will be up pretty soon. I'm pretty excited about it. You'll have cameras up. You'll be able to see us live if I can get Jeff and Six and Ben to act right.
That ain't going to happen.
We're working
on it.
That's
what makes us so special.
Well, we don't act right?
We all rode the short bus.
We switched the conversation to point out.
But today is get along. Today's get along Wednesday.
That's right.
We got along. We all agree, which is really kind of weird.
Yeah, but we switched the conversation up on y'all. So
how you switch the conversation?
You can't do that. She's in charge.
How you switch the conversation? What you switch
it? This is Tracy and Friends.
No,
not,
it depends.
Not Steve and Friends.
No, it's Steve and Friends. Depends on what the topic is. What did you switch it to?
We were discussing. Well, we took it from the realm of healthcare. And into, how people do not seem to care about themselves. And then it slipped into relationships. So have a question.
Let me ask you this. So where are you on the relationship? Because it's funny you did that, because I have a question, because I wanted to ask a question today. But we got into talking about, about the Agent Orange and talking with John Burry about, Agent Orange, Monsanto, what's in our food. So we got there, but I had a question about a relationship too. So what was your what about relationships?
Basically, my thing is you need to, how I feel about relationships and through all of my past mistakes is you have to be with someone who is like-minded as you, especially with the things that you are passionate about. Opposites attract, but when it comes to values and goals, you have to be with someone who reflects those things that you want. If that person does not, I don't care how loyal they are to you, how great everything else is, if you're going to struggle in that, you need to, for the sake of the relationship and for the sake of that person and yourself, if you can't deal with something, you need to walk away. Because
well,
you're going to end
for
up
you guys.
Being, okay.
And I don't agree with that, Tracy.
Hold on, Stanley, because you never agree. I got a question. And this is because it's on the same lines. And six, you're here. And so it's about 10 minutes after 11 o'clock, and we only got about 50 minutes before
it's
the end of the day.
Again, and it's raining again.
Oh, that's because I changed songs. I'll go back.
Please.
Bottom of an hour, I'll go back. Because grass needs cut. Listen to this. It says, I don't need you to fix me. I need you to love me while I fix myself.
I agree with that.
And I thought that was very, very powerful. Right. And I think, and when it comes to women and men, men are fixers. They want to fix everything. Women don't want you to fix it. We just want you to love us through while we're trying to fix it. And I think that has a lot to do with our relationship one with another.
Mm-hmm.
And so having the same ideals, having the same thought, you know, you will never agree on everything. And we need to have a fundamental basis to stand on on a platform, on your faith, on your culture, and you don't have to be as a part of the same culture, because I was talking to someone the other day, and I said, you know, when you date someone, do you have to like the same music? And it's not, no, you don't.
No.
But do you have to respect the other person's liking to their music, pretty much?
Yeah.
Unless you just can't stand it ever. Like, I would have a hard time dating someone if all they liked was hard rock, heavy metal.
Right.
Because that would just, like, somebody like Ben.
Yeah, fingernails on a blackboard.
We could never ride in the same car anywhere. And so, there are fundamentals that basis that you have to be able to stand on.
Well, and the thing is, if you love the other person, there's give and take. I mean, my wife, there are CDs in my truck that I don't play when my wife's in the truck with me, because she doesn't like them.
And there are movies that you wouldn't go see with your wife,
right?
And she wouldn't want to go see with you,
right?
But you don't have to always, and I think that's where we miss it. You don't have to agree on everything. You just have to have a respect, a relationship, and things in common, and a commonality.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I never.
You've got to be harnessed together with the same set of harness.
I never thought that I would be in a relationship with someone who didn't have liberal left leanings politically, let alone marrying them. But
are you marrying somebody who's a little conservative?
He's more libertarian.
You're
less conservative. So
speaking of which, Diva, you don't like the Koch brothers?
I don't really care. I don't know too much about the Koch brothers not to like them. I don't like some of the things that they do. I have a problem with corporations and billionaires and all that trying to influence our political structure all around.
So you just don't like nobody, because we all
do. I do, but I don't get into the specifics like some people do and really go hard on a specific person just because of their political leanings at that talk. But he and I have found that in order for our relationship to work, we do not talk politics. We do not have political discussions. No, he doesn't know how to agree to disagree. So that's why.
Oh, like you do.
Yeah, I can accept that he is a libertarian conservative / whatever you want to call it. I can accept that.
He can't accept that you are a crazy left. Like I said, don't think about things. Don't think things through, person. Huh? Okay.
Oh my gosh, I think things through. He doesn't think things through. He just listens to talking points and then tries to bring them at me. So that's the biggest problem right there. So I was like, you know what? Let's not discuss that. I don't know anything about equipment and machines in his business. I listen instead of trying to go at him about how he should do this, because I have no clue about that. So in this relationship, I have learned balance, whereas in any of my previous relationships, I've never understood. I just wanted to do me, be me, and this is how it's going to go, and it never worked. So I feel like a good balance in a relationship, respecting the person that you're with, respecting boundaries, goes a long way.
But Tracy.
Yeah.
the problem I have, and the discussion came to that, if you have a person that you love and you know she's going to something that's going to harm her, could be drugs, could be anything, many problems, you see it, are you supposed as a partner to accept her for what she is and not help her out and just let her crash
to? You know, that's when we talk about relationships and with women, I need for you to help me through it by your support of me. And when we say support of me, you know, I know that I have some things that I have to work on because you and I have discussed them. We've discussed things that I need to work on. So I need for you to encourage me as I work on them, and don't demonize me as when I fail, and lift me up when I reach my hand up. And that's what women are really asking for.
But what
happens,
do we put the responsibility back to you if you don't do what you need to do?
I don't need you to hold me. You will put responsibility to us.
We don't need you to hold us and drag us through it.
I don't need for you to hold me accountable. I need for you to hold me up. Because, see, if I care about you enough and I care about myself enough, then I'm going to do what's best. And I'm going to try to work my way through it, but I need your encouragement and your support. I need to know that you're going to be there with me when I fall, so that when I succeed, I can stand up with you.
Tracy, let me interject.
Yeah, Alabama.
This is the thing. Stanley's saying this: if you're going to the gym, you exercising, but you may have a binge every once in a couple of months. You go out and eat something you shouldn't eat. I'm not going to be military about it. But if you go 2-3 years and you've been to the gym 5 times, you're not trying. And for a man to say something to you and then you get emotional, it's just, I'm sorry.
That's different,
that's
Alabama.
I bet you that's what Stanley's talking about.
But see, that's not me. That's not what I said.
No, I'm talking about that. I'm talking about we had a conversation with a couple of friends, and it was surprising. I heard the conversation that a lot of men were basically covering up when they didn't want to tell the truth to their wife because or their girlfriend because they were scared of the consequence. Some of them had health problems. Some of them had other problems. But they were all covering up and saying, oh, no, baby, it's okay. I accept you for who you are, blah, blah, blah. And it wasn't the truth.
But that's why they ended divorce, and that's why men cheat right there, because they're looking at women on the internet.
Hold on. Go ahead, Stanley. They didn't have the courage to do what they – and they all looked at me and said, I ain't going to tell that to my girlfriend or my wife. Are you crazy?
Can I say this to you guys?
Because they were scared of basically hurting your feelings. Because when you come back, you say you want to support us, but as men, we want you to be accountable. If you do wrong, you did wrong.
Stanley, breathe. Alabama, listen to what I'm saying. I'm not trying if I tell you I'm trying to lose weight and I only go to the gym 4 times a year and I'm still eating bonbons in the middle of the night every night. That's not trying. That's lip service.
Yeah.
And let me say this also.
But Tracy, a lot of women can do that and walk around. Let me finish.
But if you see me going to the gym 5 nights a week, but I still haven't been able to curb my appetite and eating at night, then love me through my appetite. You know, say, listen, find another way for me to find a healthy snack while I'm trying to curb my appetite. Find some recipes for me or something that you think that I might like. Instead of me eating chocolate cake at night, you found, you know, carob chips that are going to substitute that sweetness and that chocolate desire that I need.
Ask Stanley, do you think Stanley would complain if his girlfriend had that attitude you just described? Stanley, answer the question.
I wouldn't be complaining. Yes. I wouldn't be complaining if she had that attitude that you're talking. If she would take ownership of what she did and say, you know what, I have a weight problem and everything, I need to do work on it. Please encourage me, and I'm going to take responsibility. This is the 5 workout I'm going to do. This is the me that I'll be the first one saying, okay, babe, I'm in your team. But do not stand up here and cry in front of me and have a befiddle and say I've done everything. And I could very easily take the calendar and show you didn't do everything.
Listen to what I'm saying. Hold on, guys. Hold on, Eva, because I got to let South Carolina in, and I want to finish my statement that I didn't get to finish.
I know what he's going to say.
But I also want you to understand this also. Alabama, you said something about men cheat because a woman looks good. Men need to understand that that which looks good on the outside is not always good on the inside.
We're not stupid.
Let me finish. You're making a point that's not even necessary.
Listen, who said that I think just because a woman looks good? Listen to what I'm saying.
A lot of times, because men are visual, Ta-da will walk down the street, and I may be going through some stuff emotionally that I can't overcome. And I need you to support me while I'm going through whatever it is. And that's where men have to rise up and be a man and deal with the woman that they're with, which is not always easy. But if you're a real man, you can handle it.
All right.
But if you go after the first thing that blinks and winks at you because she's got a pretty package, then she comes back and bites you in the butt. And a lot of times the woman with the issue is going to be there with you and for you no matter what. Yet your person who looks good on the outside and has a great facade will never be able to give you that which you need to make you successful. Go ahead, South Carolina, and then I got to let Alabama back.
You don't make a point. I can't even come back.
I know. Hold on. Go ahead, South Carolina. Then I'm gonna come back to you.
I'm kind of listening to it, and Alabama, you may not know what I'm gonna say, but I'm gonna put it this way, fellas. You gotta understand this, okay? You got to understand your lady. You got to understand that at some point in time, she's going to gain weight, whether it be through childbearing or whether it be, you know, through eating or whatever. You didn't marry her because she was, you know, just fine and everything. There had to have been something else there. And if you did marry her just because she's fine, you're being superficial. And that's a relationship that's not going to work. So you got to be careful now. You got to marry the whole package, not just what the package is wrapped in.
Okay, I agree with you. I agree with Tracy. I don't think, let's just kill this once and for all. Nobody on this phone is saying get with a woman strictly because she got a big butt and a pretty face. Nobody. What I'm saying is that when you are with a woman and she knows that men, every woman knows a man is physical, and she gets with a man, be it girlfriend or married, and she does not care about what her body looks like, and she starts gaining weight, and you say something, and she doesn't care. That is a problem. Let me finish. That is a problem because that man is visual, just like a woman has to do with emotions. See, women, if a man sit up here, and we know a woman is a certain way, and that man is insensitive to that, he's a dirty dog. But when a woman is insensitive, because we have this society like we do, a man is a dog just for saying that. Now, another woman, yeah, he may go out and do certain things. See, a man is wired a certain way. A man will go out and sleep with a woman and don't have no feelings for her, but she got a nice body. But he'll do it because he's physically attracted to her more so than the woman he's with. That's just the bottom line. Now, y'all, that's the reality of what we have today, and y'all can sit and have all these intellectual conversations, but I'm talking about when the rubber hit the road and what we're dealing with today.
But
when a woman don't care about how she looks, she's gonna have a problem. Listen, let me
be very, very transparent with you for a minute, if you just don't mind. Then I'll let you come back. I'm very transparent. I went from a solid size 12. To a 16 in 6 months. I had never had an eating problem in my life. I never had a weight problem, never knew anything about it. And it was right after I got married. And instead of my ex-husband loving me through it, he demonized me for it because he said I was lazy. I was going through some crazy emotional changes because I didn't know where it came from. It just showed up. Mm-hmm. It wasn't because I was working. I was working 60 hours a week, mm-hmm. trying to start a new family, trying to do the right thing. But instead of supporting me through it, He demonized me for it and crushed my whole ego along with it. And so I'm telling you from my own experiences, and it's been 20 years in the making trying to get my weight to stabilize so it will come down. And so in the last, you know, 4 or 5 months, I've been going to the gym. Or the last year, I've been going to the gym working out, and I'm still not losing the weight that I think I should. I'm still not coming down like I want. And I know what's wrong now. But you have to understand, when you go through that process as a woman, you don't know what the heck is going on. And the last thing you need is for someone who you say loves you to be non-supportive of you.
But
constantly lying
you
about your weight.
Okay.
I mean,
absolutely. Hold on.
You said something.
Hold on,
Stanley. You said something very pertinent. You said to her, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing or what you said you're doing. I guarantee you, she's not at the mindset where she will be where Tracy is, but she's doing it because she wants to please you. And that's what men got to understand, is that sometimes women will do or say things just to please that man that they're with, but they're not actually there in their mind yet. So, Alabama said that's why men will cheat. My thing is, if you can't deal with the thing, walk away, because all you're going to do is cause problems. Ruin that woman, ruin her, and then you're going to look like the bad guy. You don't want to be looked at the bad guy, but yet now you're an a-hole because you cheated instead of just walking away.
Hold on, Alabama. Stop. Whoa. Go ahead, Sticks.
Well, I mean, we're way past where I was.
Well, go ahead.
I was going to jump in, you know. But, I mean, we've been married. My wife and I have been married 30 years. And I've said this before, and I said again, there was days I've always loved her, but there was days I didn't like her very much. But the days you don't like her very much, you get through those because tomorrow's a better day.
But they're talking about emotional issues, and they're talking about weight issues and visual issues.
Well,
I've
been cruel to my wife unintentionally. I mean, she was pregnant with our first child. I come home for a long weekend from the submarine, and she had a perm, and I don't know why I said it, but I said, you look like a fat poodle.
Ooh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's another thing, too, Tracy. When you have kids...
Yeah, Eric.
Yeah, when you have kids, that changes things too. I mean, when you get to that point in your marriage, some things you got to just let it go. I mean, you got to worry about your child. You worry about the report cards, the grades, and all that stuff. You know, helping them with their homework. You don't have time for all the superficial stuff.
But Tracy, the problem I have with what you're saying is when a man loses his job, women, you'll be the first one jumping out. Where's your responsibility?
He's
where's
right.
your stuff?
No.
Where's
He's
your
right.
thing?
Woman
How come you didn't get a job?
Right.
You will never basically say, man, I can't talk to my man that way. You'll be the
Let me just finish.
Things, and then I'll let you talk. That's what I don't understand. When it comes to subject that you are very important, my man needs to work, needs to bring the bacon, needs to do this and that, you have no problem as soon as we bring you a man that doesn't do that, that used to do that, you will not sugarcoat it. You will come and tell the man, you better take your responsibility, you better do what you need to do, you're not a lazy bum, I didn't go out with lazy, but you will never sugarcoat
Stanley.
It. How come when
Stop.
We come
Stop.
To wait,
Stop. Stanley. Stanley.
We can't
Stanley.
Do
that? We got that part. Stop.
Stanley, I have been married for 30 years, and if your woman loves you, she will never emasculate
you. Can I say this to you? It's cultural.
Okay.
Whoa. What did he say?
He said, if your woman loves you, she will not emasculate you. And I said, it's cultural.
Because I've been laid off and fired, and my wife has never.
Hold on.
My wife has always been a helpmate to me. She's always said, we will get through this.
That's very rare. That's very rare.
Hey. Hell, it's cultural. It's cultural. We need to be. We need to be.
A
sister will
real quick.
Fix us. Absolutely, a black woman. We have not learned how to be supportive of men like that.
Okay.
And
I
it's
know,
a lot
you know
of
what? Hold on, hold on. Destiny Child had a song.
Hold on.
Hold on, D. Destiny
hold
Child
on,
had a song.
South Carolina.
Called
hold
State
on. Hold
Houston.
On. Wait. Whoa. What at a time. Go ahead, Alabama.
Destiny Child had a song called Cater to You, right? And Kelly Rowland, that's my girl. Kelly Rowland said, I'm going to work out, keep myself up. I'm going to be there with you. I'm going to roll over, make love at late at night. I'm going to do it's certain things that when you with a man, you have that you may not want
to
do. It's certain things that you have to do. So when you sit up there and you're talking about emotional issues and stuff, then I understand having a child. I ain't stupid. Who's stupid enough to think a woman going to drop a baby and in a month she back down to her normal size? Come on,
Alabama.
Man. We understand
Alabama.
That. What
but
I'm
no,
saying
no,
is,
don't,
hold
no,
on,
you
let me
don't,
talk.
No,
women,
no, no, no.
I've dated
Alabama,
women that
listen.
Don't work out
Stop.
At all, and when
Stop.
I say something, they got a problem with go ahead.
Stop. Listen. The problem is not, bam, I don't come down, but 3 years, I'm still not down, and you think that I'm lazy now. See, the
Do
problem
you work
is
out?
Not, yeah, it's not about working out. I don't even know how to work out because, see, I'm working full time, and I'm taking care of baby, and I'm taking care of you.
I mean, well, I mean, come and sit
no.
there. I mean, who going
to
say
so,
that?
Men?
No, if you working 16-hour days and raising a child, ain't going. Ain't you coming home about to knock out, falling asleep every day? Ain't nobody finna be like, you ain't going to the gym. You, I mean, that's unrealistic.
But you don't want.
That's
but you don't want
me running
fat
you like
either.
A slave.
Again,
you like
don't,
a slave.
But you don't want me heavy no. either. And so when I'm eating potato chips on the fly because I'm running
hold
because
on,
I'm hungry.
How about 8 hours a day? How about you work just a normal 8 hours
I
and
have,
I cook
I
sometime.
Have,
I'll cook
you
if you're going to go to the
that's
gym.
Not how, that's not how that's working.
But the one thing that women with children tend to do is, yes, you may have a weight problem if you have a child, but we tend to completely forget about our husbands altogether at times.
Oh, thank you, Diva. Thank you.
Even if you have the weight problem, that's still not an excuse for you to get up, cook your husband a meal, make sure the house is clean, make sure he has clean clothes and clean underwear, so that especially if you're a homemaker. But yet we put so well. I can't say because that wasn't my problem. But women tend to put their husbands on the back burner and expect, oh, just because I have your baby, that's okay. And that is not okay. You have.
I'd rather put the house and the kids on the back burner.
You have to make sure you do what you have to do as a wife. Whatever you can find. If you have a weight issue, if you're not up to cooking all the time, you can find something that's going to please your man in that day.
Yeah. And the thing I would add also is when you're talking to me and saying you don't have the time, how many times do you watch TV? And
right.
I'm sure
Stanley,
if I go through the whole week of how many times you watch
well,
TV. Wait, Tracy, let me finish this.
Because this is where you fail, Stanley. This is where you mess up. Yes, I'm watching TV, and yes, I'm not working out. I'm not on the treadmill while I'm watching TV because my mind and my emotions, I am not set on that right now because I'm just trying to figure out what the heck is going on in my life. Men or women are different, and you have to understand that.
That's when you
not,
see,
I'm not even
I,
there
I,
yet.
I think kind of think that's like a cop-out. Because
no, Diva, it's not a cop out, and because I'm being real about this, it's not a
I
cop out. I'm not my mind is not even there yet because you have to make yourself work out. Most people have to press to work out. It's like woo, we're going to the gym, let's go. No, that's not how that works. You've
but
got to
not,
make yourself
I think,
go.
I think Stanley's girlfriend needs to be more honest with him. She needs to be more honest about what she's going through, and that's something women don't do.
We're not going to.
Don't say it.
Diva,
well,
we're not going to.
Why not?
Because
why
that's
not
who we
say,
are.
Look, I'm not there yet. I'm not. I can't do the
Diva,
working out every day.
Diva, we're not there yet. Most women are not there yet. Sticks, you've been married how long?
30 years.
Did your wife open up and tell you all the?
No.
We're not. That's not who we are.
And I'll tell you right. I mean, our daughter's way away from home, and there's a lot of times where I'll. Amy will call me, and I'll talk to her for 10 minutes and hang her to her mom, and they'll talk for an hour. And I know they're talking about what's going on between women.
And then women don't talk to other women. Something that is detrimental to your relationship, that is causing a problem in your relationship, you have to learn how to be open partner.
Sweetie.
You're going to lose the relationship.
Sweetheart. Diva, listen. This is what we have to be honest with. One, men don't want to know it all.
My wife always said, her grandma always said, there's some things that just are meant not to be spoken.
Dude, y'all don't want to know it all. Don't sit here and lie like you do.
Stanley, when you want to know why she's not doing what she's supposed to be doing, if she's telling you
because
she
feels that I'm trying
why?
To control her, because she feels
you
like
are.
I'm trying to control
you are.
And all her friends are telling her that all her friends are saying he should accept you for who you are. That's being
and you
selfish.
Should.
Blah blah blah
and you
blah,
should.
Blah, blah.
Hold on. And Stanley, the biggest problem with you with this is, and I got to take a break. The biggest problem is she needs to feel secure that you're going to love her no matter what. And if you can't get there, then it will never work.
Yeah.
But Tracy, if you're going to tell me that philosophy, that means you have to have apply that philosophy that if tomorrow I lose my job, you should accept me for who I am or I lose my business.
You're correct.
I trust
that's
you
right.
not.
Correct.
Women,
right.
you will
but
not
me,
accept
but
that.
Hold on.
Women,
hold on. But listen,
Tracy,
this is
you will not
quote,
accept
Stanley.
That.
Stanley, listen, if you lose your job, and this is, if you lose your job,
or your money, or whatever, business, or whatever, that brings them
if you
can. Trust me, as
listen,
a woman, you
Stanley,
will not accept that and tell
Stanley,
me,
Stanley,
oh, I should
sweetheart.
Accept me for who I am.
Listen, Stanley, if you lose your job for whatever reason, it is not about the loss of your job. And we understand that men go into a slump in their egos when they lose their job. Men are really big wusses when it comes to stuff like that. Y'all can't handle it.
Yeah.
But the problem is, you cannot lay on the couch and stay home for the next 3 years.
Right.
While I do it
Why
all,
not?
Take care of the kids, while you're sitting in a slump.
And blame it on the maid.
And
Why
then
not?
Make me. Why not?
Why not? Because I could tell you the same. You can't stay 3 years and gaining weight and staying on your bum when I keep on working and doing what I think. I could do the same speech that you're doing, but it doesn't apply to you as a woman.
No, we're telling you that's not right either, Stanley. That's not right for her to sit at home on her bum and not do what she's supposed to do as a woman and keeping herself up when she first met you, doing something, being late. No, that's not right for 3 years. No, that's not right.
But Tracy just said it's an emotional thing, and we're supposed to just accept it and love her for who she is.
Here's the thing. Your girlfriend is insecure about your feelings for her. She feels that if she's skinny, you'll love her and she'll be secure. Her being at the size that she is at, she feels you don't love her. So therefore, and I think that's the biggest factor, the stress about your feelings of this situation is what's the problem in causing her not to be able to lose that weight. I think, and I get that you just want her to be healthy, and you don't want her to see. But I think if you just slacked off and let her get to the point in her own mind, because once she starts feeling secure that you love her regardless, I guarantee you she'll start losing that weight because she'll be like, you know what, I want to look good for my man. Every woman wants to look good for their man, but sometimes your emotions get in the way and you don't understand the emotions. We don't know how to express the emotions. But someone on the outside looking in can tell you this is why you're having that problem. And I won't say you're a horrible person or a bad person, but I think you're causing her a lot of stress because if she's working out, that weight should come off. But I guarantee you she's eating on the low. She's eating on the low.
I know. She's doing things on the low and I'm just telling her, be honest with me, because she's like, I'm doing everything I need to do, and I can't lose the weight. And I'm crazy in my head, and I work it. This is my industry. This is my business, Diva. You don't understand. This is what I do.
I get that that's your business, but the fact is, do you love her enough not to stress her through this? Because that's what's the problem.
I love her enough not to stress her to this, but when she comes, when I go back to her place and she starts crying because she can't fit to a jean that she used to fit, what am I supposed to do as a man?
Because just don't say nothing. Don't say nothing to her. Because she's only crying because she wants you to validate. She wants to hear you say, she does want to hear you say, babe, I still love you regardless. So she's crying out for those words.
Diva, let me try one thing, though. Ms. Underwood, let me try this one thing. How about women, a lot of times when they go to the exercise, they don't really do nothing. Women do not go hard in the gym a lot of times. They get on a treadmill, walk for 30 minutes, and then after a while, after about a month of doing that, your body's not burning the calories that the machine is telling you because your body's adjusted, because that's how God made us, right? So what I'm saying is, sometimes guys like a drill sergeant guy to me coming on, hey, come on, let's go, pushing you to do stuff like weights and resistance training may actually shock your body into losing that weight. Don't tell me that you can't lose weight. Like
I'm not saying you can't. It's a mindset thing. Here's the thing. I had the opportunity to date a fine black male, went to my church. Oh, my gosh, ex-NFL player, played for Colts, played in the championship game. But he is a healthy buck.
WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com.
Stop what you're doing, cause I'm about to ruin the image and the style that you're used to. I look funny, but yo, I'm making money, see? So yo, world, I hope you're ready for me. Now gather round. I'm the new fool in town, and my sound's laid down by the underground. I drink a ball of Hennessy you got on your shelf, so just let me introduce myself. My name is Funky, pronounced with the Uncy. Yo, ladies, oh, how I like to Funky. And all the rappers in the top 10, please allow me to bump. I'm stepping tall, y'all, and just like Humpty Dumpty, you're gonna fall when the stereos pump me. I like the rhyme, I like my beats funky, I'm spunky, I like my oatmeal lumpy, I'm sick with this, straight gangsta Mac. But sometimes I get ridiculous. I'll eat up all your crackers and your licorice. Oh, yo, fat girl, come here. Are you ticklish? Yeah, I called you fat. Look at me, I'm
well, it's
skinny.
Not political. It's not politically correct. Hey, you listening to Tracy and Friends?
Where do you find this stuff?
I once got busy in a bathroom. I'm crazy. Allow me
you don't
know?
You never heard this before?
No.
Just don't faze me. I'm still getting in the.
That's what we're trying to say. It's cultural.
Okay.
Dance is a chance to do the home.
Baby.
It was at the 80s.
Oh.
I think it was 80s,
NWA?
80s and 90s. Pardon me?
Did you say that was NWA?
No, I said it was out of the 80s.
Oh.
80s
oh,
and 90s.
Okay.
And Styx has never heard it.
No. There was a song that they used to play in the enlisted club. And something. Don't push me because I'm close to the edge. It runs through my head.
Because I'm close.
Close to the
head.
I'm trying not to lose my
head.
That was the beginning of rap.
Oh, okay.
But this is the digital underground. This is where a lot of our modern hip hop has come out of. We'll do that another day. Stanley, sweetheart, you are, and you know what? And what makes this is, I have to say this out loud. As much as I disagree with you, there are so many men that think like you. That's what's wrong.
And it brings every, when I see it, brings a conflict and everything, because that's one thing you have to understand. I'm going to be completely blunt, Tracy. She, at one point I did a business with my best friend. If it wasn't for her basically telling me, your best friend is basically taking your money and doing things, and she knew, and I had to ask, she basically saved my butt from that, and it was a major money thing.
Listen.
Anyone
that's after your money is not after you, so you need to let that go. But anybody that's after your body, you need to let that go too. See, men need to understand that women are not trophies. They're supposed to be your life partner or your life helpmeet. They're not supposed to be a trophy that you carry in your arm and shine it up like a pretty little doll. That's not why we're here.
What makes you think that you're just that? We don't think that you're that.
Pardon me?
Nobody in the telephone here thinks that you're just that.
Stanley, you're not trying to keep me healthy. You're trying to keep me fine.
No, I'm trying to keep you healthy.
No, I think he's trying to keep her healthy, but he's stressing her in the process. because she's
I'm trying to keep you healthy.
Yet.
I'm not trying to keep you this and
so
I'm not
if
trying
I
to
have, so hold on. So if I have no, if I'm not diabetic, if I have no hypertension, if I have no high cholesterol, and I am and I'm completely healthy outside of a thyroid issue, you're okay with that?
Yeah, but until you don't
Hold on, Stanley. And so I weigh, I have at least 30% body fat, but that's because
then
of my thyroid.
Hold on, Stanley.
And it's because of my thyroid. Now, I'm on medication for my thyroid, but it's still not helping me with my weight problem. And so I'm going to the gym, and I'm working out, and I'm doing all the things that I'm supposed to, but I still have 30% fat, body fat. I still have – I've got low cholesterol. My cholesterol is normal. My blood pressure is right. I'm not pre-diabetic. I can almost outrun you on a treadmill, but I'm still 30% body fat. Are you okay with that?
No, because you have 30% body fat, and
so guess what? So you're not in it for my health. You're in it for my physique.
Yes, I am, because Tracy, if you go to your doctor and the level that we used to put on people back in the day compared to now is not the same.
Stanley, I've mentioned this lady before. My best friend's mother was 6'6", 400 pounds, and she'd outwork you. I guarantee it. She'd throw her pound hay bales all day long. She is now 90 years old.
Yeah.
She doesn't have a single health problem, except she's getting Alzheimer's.
Stanley,
I grew up around women like this.
Stanley, all
every woman, every farm wife I knew was built like that. In some way, shape, or form. There were no skinny farm wives when I was growing up.
you have to, I mean, Stanley, I appreciate you.
Stanley,
everybody has their own.
With himself.
But again, I said, a person has a thyroid problem, which causes, you know, weight is just, it can be problems, and sometimes you just will never lose it outside. And even with gastric bypass, it doesn't make for you not still gaining it back. But I'm just saying, you know, people go anorexic, so you don't mind people being anorexic and have bulimia.
I don't want the other thing. I just want it to be a normal time, a normal. Let me tell you what I want. I want basically to take the same standard that you have for your career for your health. That's what I want. I want every woman and man to take the same standard that they have for their career, for their money, to their health. Because we don't care about our health. That's what I want.
Right. I'm at the end of my day. I understand this.
It's only 11:48.
Well, that's not the end of the day?
No, you still got 12 minutes.
You still have 12 minutes.
So y'all can keep track of my time, but y'all can't make sure I keep my breaks on time. I don't understand.
I don't understand.
And I agree with what you said before, Tracy. We need to have kick out Dr. Oz and put the real debate of the meat, the egg, the GNC, everything. We need to go back to that and be truthful about that.
You can't go back. That's what I'm trying to tell Sticks, and they can't tell you. You're not going to go back. There's no way now. There's no way, but you need to know.
Right. And I'm all for labeling products.
You can't
absolutely
go back. It'll never go back.
But the economics of it, just you can't go back.
Not even so much the health economics. It's just the market forces will not allow it.
Right.
Just like you will never go back. Just like when we talk about abortion and we think that they're going to overturn it, it will never go back. It will never go back to where, you know, abortion is illegal in America again.
But
it will never happen.
Abortion never was illegal.
But we can lower the number of abortions.
No. Roe v. Wade nationalized abortion. Abortion was legal in some states,
It
was illegal in other states. So it was never totally illegal in the United States.
But you will never make it completely illegal across all states again.
It was never completely illegal across all
states. Okay, let me say this again. You will never make it illegal across all states, and you will never
make
it illegal in some states and not others.
You can't make it illegal in any state now at all.
It won't happen. It will never go. I mean, I'd love for you
to
say yeah, but it will never go back.
I'd love to see the heartbeat law passed in all 50 states.
I would like to see the heartbeat law passed. That may pass.
Yes.
I think that and preventative measures will lessen the amount of abortions that are out there.
But it's more than actually preventative measures. But you also have to have an educated electorate, and when we say this, and most people don't like Condoleezza Rice, but they need to hear what she says.
Mm-hmm.
She said that the only way that you're going to have true civil rights is when you give everyone a good education.
Mm-hmm.
And until education becomes the forefront of American standards again, and people go back to wanting to be excellent and being innovative,
well,
they will never, ever achieve true freedom.
I believe that from the bottom of my heart, 90% of poverty in the United States is self-inflicted. And it's because of lack of education and poor choices.
But you keep on saying poor choices, and I want you to understand, if you only have a rock in a hard place.
Does a fish know it's wet? We talked about that earlier, and I agree with you.
And you have to understand, you keep on saying poor choices. If you have a rock in a hard place, what choice do you make? So if you're born into a rock and a hard place, you can't, until you expose me to the crack, I will always make a bad decision. So the decision is not, and what's happening in America is we keep on breeding people into poverty and making them stay in poverty.
I agree.
Based upon our own agenda, because Americans, whether they be conservative and or liberal, neither one of them want Americans to be
educated. Right. There's a lot of money to be made on poor people.
We need to be honest about that.
We
don't want free people. Free people. The slavery was all about money.
Right.
Slavery was not about race.
Right.
And
well,
the only way that you can actually have a society that is thriving is if you have people that are going to work for free or for nothing.
At first, slavery was about money. Then as
don't dispute what I said. Slavery was about money. That's why when they abolished slavery, the slave owners had to have sharecroppers.
Right.
And the reason why Jim Crow came in is because they didn't want the sharecroppers who were black and white to unionize and or to become collective bargaining, because they would have overthrown the structure.
Johnny,
so they had to start Jim Crow and the black coats to keep poor blacks
and poor whites away from
each other.
Johnny Cash's parents were sharecroppers.
The reason why they instituted generational slavery for life was because blacks and immigrants were getting free, finding freedom, becoming wealthy, and mingling amongst the wealthy society. They couldn't
have
that.
It was because of money. Let me also say this. The reason why they don't want to have total inclusion and affirmative action programs and those types of things, it's not because you're black. They don't want to share the pie with anyone. They do not want to create an area where other people have an ability to come in and share the wealth.
Why is it that they don't teach financial education in our schools? Why is it that they don't teach the difference between interest paid and interest earned? Because they want to keep you on the treadmill of permanent debt and permanent poverty.
Because they make money on the debt. When you go to a bank, they sell you money.
Right.
They don't want you to be self-financed on anything.
That's right. The quickest way out of poverty is finish high school, don't have a child out of wedlock, and never have a car payment.
Go ahead, Alabama.
Yeah, that didn't help me at all. I never had any of them things, but... Okay.
Hello.
I agree with Sticks in that we can't just continue to make excuses for where we are. I mean, we can't. I mean, I agree that there are dynamics. I believe white supremacy exists. I believe it's out there alive and well. But we got to stop with the excuses of I was born this way. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't see how you can continue to think that way. And generation after generation, when I follow you home, you got $200 shoes on. You got cable, internet. You got $500 cell phones. You got all these different, all the cable channels, internet. You got all this stuff
but you can't, you know, you can't even go buy a $100 lawnmower. I know somebody in particular. Won't even go buy a $100 lawnmower to sustain themselves. Won't even, they'd rather sit around and put up pole mouth about they can't get a job. They can't, like, man, why don't you go buy a lawn? Gave him $150. He took it to go out on dates with women. Instead of, I'm like, man, go buy your lawnmower and start walking and cutting some grass or something.
Well, a two-adult household, each smoking a pack of cigarettes a day is a rent, is a month's rent.
But let me say this. Let me say this, and honestly, because we deal on the substance abuse of people. When you're a cigarette smoker, I'm not going to demonize your habit.
No,
listen, because if you're not a cigarette smoker and you've never tried to kick the habit, you start smoking at 12, 13, 14, 15 years old.
Been there, done that.
So, yeah, two people smoking a pack of cigarettes a day, it's a habit. But there's a reason why, for a long period of time, they actually targeted lower income inner
city. They still do.
The same thing with the lottery.
Yes.
So the fix of it is
the lottery. The lottery's a tax on the poor, the poor and the stupid.
So habits can
be broken though.
Yes,
you
they
have
can,
to have
but they have.
The
to, but it's kind of hard to break a habit
when everybody around you has the same habit.
No, it's kind of hard to break a habit when you are in a situation of despair and that's your only flux freedom and or your only control. People enjoy smoking. So if I enjoy it.
Right. Oh, I used to love
this.
Why
would I want to quit? So I see people in the hospital, and we talk about this, and most hospitals
they take out the trach tube.
They take, and you see them walking downstairs with their IV in their arm, with an oxygen tank rolling behind them, trying to go outside and get a puff. Hello?
Through the trach.
I'm trying to say that.
Yeah. You went through the trach.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know.
So we need to quit demonizing the people because of what they're doing. We need to have compassion on it because, as a matter of fact, either most of us was in it or know somebody going through it, but quitting smoking is a hard thing to do.
Right.
So, yeah.
My mother's been smoking since she was 19. She started smoking out of a lot of stress of raising three children. But now that she's much older, she wants to quit. She still feels she can't quit. But I can say, me and my sisters growing up around everyone in our family smoking, none of us smoke because we chose
but
not
to have. But that's a blessing.
Changing
habits, changing smoking, changing things on that
order.
The problem is until you get around into a mindset, you know, until you get around things and change things and learn things and get a better desire.
Well, so much of this stuff is emotional. I mean, if I smell coffee, bacon and eggs cooking, and tobacco smoke, I think of my grandfather. Because he would take me fishing when I was a boy, and I would wake up in the morning, and he would be cooking breakfast and smoking a cigarette.
And it tells me it's time to eat. Well, listen, I got to go. You're listening to Tracy and Friends.
That, well, everybody else around me is doing it, so I did it. To me, that's a cop-out. Just because everybody around you is doing it doesn't mean you have to do it.
I mean, ain't pretty much first generation from the hood, everybody. Most middle class black people you see, or so-called middle class black people that you see that got education and got a job that did something, came from the hood, came from poor beginnings. We've always been poor as black people. We hadn't always been ratchet like we are now.
That's new.
And also, we had a sense of responsibility and accountability. We wouldn't accept if somebody did something that was not taking responsibility.
You know what? She had that guest, Stanley, she had this guest, right? I called up because this guy on Facebook, me and him got into it. All right, this cop killed an unarmed kid. He wasn't a thug, everybody's saying, or whatever, right? So everybody comes on the post, we need to kill cops. We need to kill. And I'm sitting saying to myself, okay, go kill a cop. First of all, nobody's going to really shoot a cop. They're just talking, number one. Number two, do you have guns? These cops have armored trucks, RPGs. They got if you really want to go to war, wouldn't it stand if you're trying to go to war with a police department? Probably need to have weapons. You need to have something, some sort of base where you then you don't have the resources to even try to go after the individuals that you're talking, but you're just giving lip service to it. And that's the problem with us as people. We talk, but I'm like, look, you don't. We don't have nothing. Like, so it just it bothers me when I hear that. It's like, and is that intelligent? If you could do that, is that the most optimal way to live your life, to go out and shoot cops and kill people? Is that the most optimal way, or is it more optimal to own and control something and then go and affect the politicians and change the laws to benefit you? Which is the most, I mean, it's just stupid to me. Like, so when I made that point, people was agreeing with me. He's still talking about, well, you can't work for anybody because you're working for them. I'm like, okay, so I can't get a job now because what am I supposed to do? Well, if I can't get a job, I mean, every business, you know, sometimes you do, every business don't start with $400. Sometimes you might want to, you know, get a business that costs $100,000, $200,000, $1 million to start. So you might have to actually get a 9-to-5. You might have to have credit report, tax return. You might have to actually do stuff. Like, some people don't think their ideology all the way through, and they make these dumb points, and it's not really thought out.
Yeah, I agree.
It's stupid. Go shoot cops. Like, man, you ain't finna shoot no cops, number one. Number, you're just talking.
Alabama.
You're not finna shoot cops.
Alabama.
You're not
I have to ask you a question. Why do you always cry and complain about what happens on Facebook? You're getting just as bad as Jeff.
Wait, I ain't been on Facebook. I hadn't been on Facebook in a while. You I don't know what you're talking about. I just got on there.
I had a conversation with somebody on
Facebook.
I know.
That's what I'm saying. I hadn't been on there in a while. I got on there with this gentleman. And these pro-black hotel weed smoking, you know, the incense selling, DVD selling out the trunk brothers that, you know, with the dreads, them the ones that I find myself, I got a problem with those types because they just a bunch of talk and a bunch of, they real extensive on the history of Kemet in Egypt, but they, you know, can't run a lemonade stand. Don't have, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, I'm the type of people I don't even give an audience to. People I know that just give a lip service, I really typically don't give an audience to.
I mean, they'll sit up here, in 50 years they'll be saying, yeah, black men invented the iPod. Like, just black men invented, you know, we invented the Internet. Black men invented, you know, really, black people invented. I'm like, man, look, we invented a lot of stuff. We didn't invent everything, okay? I think Johannes Gutenberg invented the printing press. I think he did. I don't know, maybe I could be wrong. I think the German guy, invented the printing press. I believe he did. But you can find some black people that'll actually sit there and argue with you and tell you, no, Gutenberg didn't invent the printing press. It was, the black man, this is what happened. You know, I'm like, man, come on, man. Okay, well, that's what their legacy is. What is yours? What's your legacy?
However, though there are instances in history where the black man was not given
thousands of them. Thousands of them. I agree. Thousands of them. I agree with you. I'm not saying that they don't have a point.
When it came to, I believe it was human heart transplant.
Yeah, the guy that died because he couldn't get one. Yeah.
The procedure that came about was invented by a black man. It was the white cardiologist intern who invented the procedure to successfully transplant a human heart, but it was the surgical cardiologist who got all the accolades.
Well, he died. The guy that did that died because he needed one and they didn't give him one, and he died. That's how he died. Because, you know why they didn't give it to him, but I'm just saying, he needed it when they wouldn't do it. So, I mean, my thing is, like, I'm all for history and learning. I love history, y'all know that, but sometimes there's a certain level of balance.
That's like, people ought to know that not every single black person came from Egypt. There are several different places in Africa. We're not all from Egypt. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, it depends on how you look at that now. I mean,
and we may have crossed over from Jordan into Egypt,
But a lot of our ancestors settled in other places. You can tell. You can just look at the difference.
No, well, most Africans that are in America through the slave diaspora or the transatlantic slave trade came from West Africa. West Africa was dominated by Egypt, or Kemet, as it was called. And you go back thousands and thousands of years, we wasn't all over the place anyway. And a lot of black people do claim Southern Africa, and I mean, there's a lot of great kingdoms, and Egypt wasn't the only one. You got Kush, you got Ghana, Mali, Songhai. You got all types of different empires, or African empires that came and were great empires and did a lot of great things. So I know people that claim them. So but the problem I have is, okay, these guys built pyramids. If we brought these guys back today, they did stuff we can't do today with all this technology. We still can't do what they did, right? So if you bring those guys back today, they'll look at you like you're a loser.
But I'm gonna ask you this:
you can't even run a lemonade stand. You're a loser. Like you ain't my ancestor. You ain't. I'm ashamed to call you my ancestor. My blood can't be in you.
Wait a minute.
This is what we did. That's what they'll say.
But the thing is, you come on. Well, you can't even run a lemonade stand, but yet we don't give respect to the person flipping burgers.
Huh?
We don't respect people who.
Well, the guy
that's
flipping burgers 9 times out of 10 working for somebody else. I'm talking about when I say run a lemonade stand, I'm saying they can't run their own business. You can't do this. You don't own nothing. You don't. That's what I was talking about. You can't build your own economic base and society. That's what I was saying.
Whether you're white or black, not everyone has the managerial business skills to actually run the business. You may be able to work.
And that's not the point I'm making, dude. Okay, let me give you a little bit more clarity.
But
okay.
Not everybody can own
Bill Gates,
business.
All right, you're right. Okay, we get that point. Bill Gates, I mean, not Bill Gates, Henry Ford, right? He was one guy. But white people that live in America, every business they walk in, they know it's pretty much white-owned 9 times out of 10, right?
That's
every
true,
time
yeah.
You go somewhere, white people own and control things. Every white person doesn't own and control a business or whatever, but their people own and control their society. Their language, their culture is pretty much synonymous with business because they own and control most businesses and resources. So that's why when you go get a job, you got to wear a suit and tie, which is European.
Yeah.
You got to speak English in foreign countries because European culture is dominant. In order to make African culture dominant to where you would need a dashiki to go apply for a job, which I'm being funny, is probably would start, just like in Japan, it's certain things in culture that you would have to do because they are the third largest economy in the world. So you got to respect. If you're going to do business with the Japanese, you got to do it on their terms.
Yeah,
you
but even
the
they're
they
starting
want
to be. But even
yeah, but every Japanese person doesn't own a business. I'm not making that point. I never made that point.
But let me ask you a question, because you and Michigan Man and everybody keep saying, our money back to the black community, because we do have the money. If we spend $250 on tennis shoes to make $90 billion company,
yeah.
It ain't the kids in the suburbs doing that. That's us. And that's
we
I
buy
20 friends.
Black men by themselves. The 5% population buy 20%
of
the shoes.
And I'm like,
we buy 20% of shoes.
Right. So my thing is. Here's my question, and no one's really been able to answer me. If we pulled our business, our money, out of these white markets and just placed it into our own, I'm not talking about these little foreigners that come in and have those little ethnic stores or ethnic businesses, because they only cater to a certain people. But if we pulled our money out of the white businesses and put it into our own, do you think that they will allow that to happen?
Who is they?
The powers that be, white supremacy.
Well, first of all, I'm gonna give you an answer real quick. I don't know why nobody can't answer that. The answer to that is never operate in fear. Never let the fact that the bully that took your lunch money may slap you because you stood up to him.
I'm not talking
going
about
out power.
Fear.
Let me make a point. Power starts small. A lot of times, you look at the Jews. Jews was just like us, right? What did they do? They consolidated their power, and now they're strong. Probably the strongest ethnic group individually, if you start going among whites, they're probably the strongest of them all.
Jews may be Jews, but they're still considered white. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
they
but
still
go back in history. The term ghetto, is a Jewish term.
Well,
they were in the ghettos. That's why they say blacks and Jews used to get along, because Jews used to have to live right next to us.
But the fact of the matter is, You don't know someone is Jewish until they tell you or you understand the last name.
No, not every Jew is like that. A lot of Jews have curly hair, kinky hair, and a lot of them got big noses. You can tell a lot of them. Not all of them could do that. Not all Jews could do that.
Yeah, but a majority of
the Why do you think when Hitler drove through his little character
of
black
Jews,
people?
The only culture that has not really has been basically fighting against assimilation into white America, European culture, has been blacks. We still have our own identity. We have our own music. We have our own way of dress. We have a different type of hair unless we straighten it. So
we don't own that. Go ahead.
It's not about fear. My thing is, everybody's saying this, but do we have a plan in place to protect ourselves and protect our businesses for when they come after us? Everybody who knows about what happened with Black Wall Street. It even happened in my own family. My grandmother's family, my great-great-grandparents were freed slaves. They were sharecroppers. They purchased land, lots of land. They built a general merchandise store, a gas station, laundromat. They had all these businesses on this land, and only people who lived on land were black people, family, and extended family. And the black community came onto this land to buy from these businesses. Those businesses were shut down, burned down by the Klan.
I hear your point. You spending 15 minutes to make a point. I get your point that, okay, there's somebody bigger and stronger that doesn't want to see us empowered. Okay, fine. So that leaves two choices, either get empowered or sit and be complacent and be destroyed and genocide and be wiped off the face of the earth.
So
I choose the
that?
Former.
How
do we get empowered?
That?
By starting by looking at, I'm sorry, look at a middleman culture such as the Jews who came and took small – they took what they had. They started in the street. A lot of them started as street merchants. A lot of these big companies started that are Jewish-owned were just street merchants. They started small, and they consolidated, and they managed their money. They actually funded their own businesses, cash. Then they started forming their own banks. Hold on, for a good example.
Yeah.
There are less Asians than us right now, anyway, in America.
Mm-hmm.
There are more Hispanics. Hispanics got 35 black-owned banks. Black people got 25 black. Hispanics got 35 Hispanic-owned banks. There are 25 black-owned banks. There are 77 Asian-owned banks. What that means for them is they can come in. They actually can move a lot faster because they got banks they can go to. They have an economic base that they've built up. And do you think people like them? No, that people didn't like them either. People don't like Hispanics. They don't like, but I mean, the blacks are number one because of the skin. That's the biggest thing. Black, you black, you're going to be rejected more than anybody. But that should force us to be more independent. And it can be done, and it has been done.
But
yeah,
you can talk about
Black Wall Street. Hold on, you can talk about Black Wall Street. The problem I have is why wasn't it built back up?
Right.
If you built it up, why did you sit there complacent for 60, 80 years still talking about reparations that you know you ain't going to get because you don't got no power to twist their arm to make them give you nothing?
But what if it frustrates me about when people put Oprah Winfrey on the pedestal, they put Bill Cosby on the pedestal, those are billionaires. Now, they sit and they talk a good game, but where's the action at? Because why can't you get your power? Y'all want to buy, and then you have Magic Johnson. Yeah, you want to buy a sports team that exploits African Americans, but yet you don't want to do something that is going to empower us, such as create a bank that will help us, that will cater to us. Create businesses, more businesses that will help us. You giving a couple thousand dollars here or there, you building a school in Africa, I'm sorry, I don't see that. And I think
I agree with you 1,000%. I don't really think that these guys that we quote unquote look up to, the Jay-Z and Beyonce, Will Smith and Jada, these people act a certain way.
They
actually, I'm going to be completely honest with you, because this is my thing with white supremacy. I hate to hear a lot of times people overuse the word, because a lot of times they take it and use it for anything they're afraid of. White supremacy. No, dude. You just scared. You just don't want to go out and try. It ain't got nothing to do. Ain't nobody stopping you from going out there doing. Ain't nobody stopping you from going out here and saving. Ain't nobody tell you to spend all your money on shoes and rims and going to the strip club buying strippers. Ain't nobody tell you to do that.
Look, I ain't never been to Youngstown. I'm going to tell you like this. I know one thing. Me and you can go to the club this Friday. I'm going to go in your club. Youngstown is predominantly, I bet it's a predominantly black city. I bet you I go in that club, I'm going to see people buying bottles. People going to be going in there acting, standing all on the couch like they own the club. Spending thousands of dollars. That's what you're going to see. I've been to New York, so I already know what's up in New York. I've seen black folks in New York.
Oh, my God. You ain't lying. In
but
club,
that's, so where that money come from? What they doing with their money, though?
But
they want to show, they want to show to everybody that they're rich, but they're not rich.
Here's the thing, because when you see
you know what I had a dude, I had a guy the other day. I was riding up. I had my girl. We went to the store, right? So this guy trying to holler at her or whatever. So he saw me pull up. I'm in this little cheap car. Now he don't know I make a decent. I can get a nice car. So he gonna tell her, I parked my car out there. I ain't want to get no scratch. Just volunteer the information. She started laughing. I parked my car out there, and I'm like, you know what? That means you probably got a real expensive car note. You probably paying almost $1,000 a month for the car. So that means I probably talked to the guy that makes good money that's driving a cheap car that's pretty much $150 a month. That's who I want to talk to. You know, we black folks are too consumer. We're consumers. We don't produce nothing.
No,
so
we don't.
When I hear people talking about killing cops, I'm sitting like, you fool. You surrounded. You ain't got nothing. Even when we had the Revolutionary War, we could hit and run. We had the mountains. We had some sort of guns. We had allies with friends. We had something. We ain't got nothing. Black folks ain't got nothing. We ain't got no allies. We ain't got none in Africa. Half the Africans over there want to be white themselves. Half of them.
Yeah. And I agree with you when it comes to, like you said, you were a consumer. And when it comes to, like, those cars, those things like that, if you want to have a beautiful car, make a business that allows you to have that beautiful car. Don't take your own money to have that beautiful car. Try to take that money and find a way to create something that I want to have. A Porsche. It was $100,000. Okay. Yeah. Now my salary is this: a 30, 40, 50. Okay. How can you take the 30, 40, 50 and switch it up to make money with that? That you could go to your Porsche or whatever and pay it.
But quit building businesses that exploit your own people. Because in Youngstown, the one thing that popped up is all these drug dealers now are going to these auctions, buying these used cars, and popping up every street corner, you'll see a used car lot. And they're exploiting people with their income tax, especially income tax time. Oh, buddy, they'll make sure they have cars out and on a lot for you.
What did P.T. Barnum say, though, Diva? What did P.T. Barnum say is a sucker born every minute? If you foolish enough to go pay 22-cent interest on a car with 160,000 miles on it and pay $500 a month for a car when you look, no. That's your stupidity.
Still,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's their stupidity, but why do blacks feel the need to exploit other blacks? Why do we feel the need to exploit each other instead of helping each other?
Well, that's the problem I have with this. It's just like with Tariq Nasheed. He made Hidden Colors 3, and black folks want to bootleg the man, copy his thing, and don't want to pay for it. Black folks want the hookup. You can't get something for nothing. You're going to have to pay. If you got bad credit and you can't go get a car for car lot, which is very easy. I mean, you can have a 5-something and get a car if you got a 9-to-5. You coming to me, you probably not the most savory person. You've made some bad choices. You just have. If you in your 20s and 30s and on up and you can't get a car, you done made some bad choices somewhere. So when you come, that's the cost, the penalty, the price you have to pay is a higher interest rate.
Again.
I'm sorry. And when
I'm
you
not,
give them a down
again,
payment, you're about to pay for the car.
You know, we have enough with dealing with exploitation outside of the black community, yet we have to deal with it because you got to.
But, Diva, is that exploitation? Is that exploitation? Diva,
we do it too.
Diva, right now. All right, let's say you got a bank, right? Let's say you got a bank, black-owned, right? I'm black. I come in there, I think because I'm black, you got to give me a loan. I'm a black man. You're going to laugh at me. You're going to say, wait a minute, Mr. Green. I need to see your business plan. I need to give me your tax returns. I need you to give me your credit score.
Yeah,
I need you to pull your credit. And then hold on, when you see, okay, Mr. Green, you had a business loan over here, so-and-so, so-and-so, but you failed, what happened? Okay, Mr. Green, your tax returns, you hadn't filed but $10,000 the last 2 years. What happened? Mr. Green, you don't have any down payment money. You don't even have – you know, $1,000 to put down. You don't have nothing. You can't even put down 1%. So, I mean, what can – you see what I'm saying?
But that's
blacks
not
to, blacks have to, if you give me the criteria.
I'm talking about exploitation. I'm talking
no,
about
– No, but see, no. When people scream exploitation diva, they'll say
no,
that
no,
person
no.
that didn't get them their business loan is exploiting them.
No.
They'll say that guy
well,
that charged
okay.
them 14% interest is going to tell you the car industry is a bad idea example. There are exploitations like these car, these title loans. Now, that's exploitation. But if you're talking about a car loan, a lot of times what they do is they get you in the note, right? They'll you come, you put your down payment money, they put that in their pocket. Then they get you in a note. Once you make three payments, they sell the note to these finance companies like Acceptance Finance. I'm sure you've heard of them. And they the ones that basically pay them their money. They're getting 60 cents on the dollar already up front, and they gone. Now you're paying acceptance. You don't have nothing to do with that car salesman no more. That's why you feel like you're getting exploited. A lot of times you get they get exploited because you have bad credit. Now, what I would do if I was in that situation is fix my credit. Because, you can save thousands of dollars.
No, Alabama,
if you jump your credit 60 points, you can you talking about saving thousands of dollars.
I specifically heard a couple people talking about, they're getting an income tax check. The best place to do, the best thing to do is to get a buy here. Pay here, place. I know people who don't, most black people that I grew up in the hood just didn't have credit. They didn't screw up their credit. They just didn't have credit.
Okay, but why would you live in a capitalistic society and not fix your done credit? This is what I'm talking about.
It's just like with
Black Wall Street. It got burnt down. You just sit there. You know I can't get a loan without credit. And you going to not have credit? Stupid. I know a dude right now. I told him, I said, man, you get your credit together and go
because
do so on and so on.
What black people in the hood, what they using their credit on? What? For a long time?
They're using their credit. First of all, it's dinged up because of cell phone, stupid stuff like
a
cell phone or power bill.
But for a long time, Alabama, in the city of Youngstown, most people did not have cars. They were driving buses, catching cabs. Cell phones weren't in place big then. A lot of people in Youngstown didn't really start getting cell phones.
But when is it okay to have standards, man? Like, damn, like we can't just always call something exploitation and discrimination when
you
don't do your part.
If you don't know about credit, you don't know how to build credit because you're not buying a house.
Well, damn, you know, wait a minute, how long are you going to go without knowing how to build credit? You go to the bookstore. You ain't got a Bible. You don't even have to have money. All you got to do is go to the bookstore and sit down and read the book and put the back of the book on the shelf. Now you got the knowledge.
If you're living around everyone who is renting their home, if you're living around everyone who has bought a car with $300 or catching a bus and catching a cab, who's going to tell you that you need to start building your credit? The first thing
nobody.
That I knew
oh, you,
about,
got, you got. Wait a minute. No, wait a minute. Wait. You just asked a question. You got internet. You got all types of ways. There is. It's that's what I'm talking about excuses for black people.
What do you mean?
I'm from the hood, Diva.
Who's
hold on. My dad and let me tell you about my situation. My dad and my mama.
Credit.
My dad was a painter. My dad didn't like credit. I've never seen my mom finance nothing my whole life, ever. Everything she got, if she did finance it, it was some stupid, ridiculous. She paid ungodly amounts of furniture, ungodly amounts for a car, and she never really went gotten in professionally financed till I was in my 30s. And then my dad, he never financed nothing as long as I lived. Nobody taught me nothing. Yet I can go out and learn. You have to have responsibility. This is your life. All
you
got is life and breath and lungs. As long as you got breath in your lungs, if you can't get off your ass and go to the bookstore and read or go and find, seek out ways to learn, go and apply for a loan and see why you were turned down and ask questions. If you can't do that, then I'm sorry.
You
deserve to be stuck where you are.
If no one is talking to you about credit, then why is it a factor in your life, especially when at that point, you don't need it. I didn't know anything about credit until I got to high school.
Do
they
you know now?
Credit card. Yes.
Do you know now?
Listen, they offered me a credit card. And I said, what do I need a credit card for? So the person explained to me, like, well, this is the best way to build your credit. And I said, what do I need to build my credit for? I can't imagine needing anything. He said, plan on owning a house, buying a car. That was my experience in college. That's when I started learning about credit. Because in my hood, you know, there was nobody was buying a house, nobody was really buying cars where you needed a car payment. Nobody was doing that. So if you got a whole
I get what you're saying, Diva, but in another thing, in the hood, hold on, let me make a point. In the hood, plenty of people buy cars, brand new. Now, that's one thing black folks can get very easy is a new car. But that's another story. I ain't never been to Youngstown, but if y'all can't get cars, y'all way more. I'm in Montgomery. We on the census list. It's one of the most densely populated areas for black people in the country. Trust me when I tell you black people can get a car quicker than you can snap your fingers.
Now, yes. But
Steve, I'm older than you.
Up,
they were doing this when
20,
I was a kid.
15, but that's different. Your time is different. 15 years
hold on,
ago,
hold on,
20
hold on,
years
one second.
Ago.
Hold on. I got to take this call. Hold on one second.
Well, I got to go anyway because I got to run errands.
Yeah, I'm here.